fourth industrial revolution, and we set the tone for the rest of Parliament. I have my device here. I think the Honourable Kwaka has this device, so let's use that device.
We'll have it our own discussion on how we want to lead Parliament. I agree, but it's a good proposal. And then we need to agree how we will then implement it. You know, you're going to have problems with a lot of your own members. not in the committee, in the parliament itself. But I agree, so you need to...
On which she does agree with me that some of us are still in the third industrial revolution.
I'm happy to provide classes to the members.
No, very much. We agree, but I'm just saying, we'll agree on how we do it. We'll do it, ultimately. Members, I've already welcomed everybody. The ministry will present. They'll explain, obviously, as I said, the program of integration, because it's not an event. The minister and the deputy minister here. The minister will manage the issue of facilitating people to introduce themselves, and then you start, the minister. Obviously, people can introduce you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members of Parliament. I must say we feel so privileged as the Ministry of the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies to be with yourselves today. Of course, it is our first meeting. We are looking forward to productive and progressive deliberations in the interest of our country and our people. My name is Stella Ndabeni Abrahams, and serving as the Minister for the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies.
Thank you, and good morning, Chair, and the members of the Portfolio Committee, and Minister. My name is Pinky Kikana. I'm the Deputy Minister of the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister DM, and colleagues. My name is Robert Nkuna, Director General, Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Good morning, Chair. Morning, members. Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Lumvu Yusobati, Acting DG, Department of Communications.
Good morning. My name is Omega Shelembe, DDG for SOE Oversight. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joy Masemola, and I'm the CFO at the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Good morning, all. My name is Farhad Osman, the Acting Deputy Director General Administration at the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mark Barnes. I'm CEO of the Post Office.
Morning, Honourable Members. My name is Thokompho Mlwana, the Chairperson of the Films and Publication Board.
Good morning. My name is Maria Motebang. I'm the Acting CEO of the Film and Publication Board.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Abungile Mashele. I'm the Chief Operations Officer at the FPB.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Nzimeni Ramugondo, the Chief Information Officer at the Film and Publication Board.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Tanya Abrahams, Parliamentary Liaison CETA.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Walter Clausen, Chairperson of the Board of NAMESA.
Good morning, Honourable Chairman, Chairperson and Members. My name is Seadi Mochaba. I'm the Executive Director at CETA.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Ntutule Tsenye. I'm the Acting CEO for CETA.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister. My name is Nomzabela Jordan Gyani, a DDG International at the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Jeanette Morwani. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General for Information Society Development at the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Yolanda van Bullion. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of the SABC.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Craig van Rooyen, Acting CIO at SABC.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Matota Mtakwe, CEO of SABC.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister and Deputy Minister. Honourable Members, my name is Bongo Musa Makatsini, Chairperson of the SABC Board.
Good morning. My name is Kidibone Peta, Director of Strategic Planning and Performance Monitoring in the Department of Communications.
Good morning. My name is Macho Bitus, Chief Director of Corporate Services in the Department of Communications.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister and colleagues. My name is Fatwani Mutui. I'm in the Digital Migration Program Office.
Good morning, all. My name is Frick Niemann. I'm the Acting CFO for DOC. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Stevens Malega. I'm the Acting Chief Director of Strategic Planning and Monitoring at the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Zolisa Kabadi. I'm the Chief of Staff Office of the Minister, Department of Telecom of Digital Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, and Minister and Deputy Minister, DG. My name is Siyabonga Dube, Interim Board Member of SASA.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Mapuleng Moropa. I am the Board Member of USASA.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Matseke. I am the CEO of Broadband Infracom.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ian Faneka. I'm the CFO of Broadband Infraco.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Sydney Mabalayo. I'm a non-executive director at Broadband Infraco.
Morning, colleagues. My name is Peter Madavu. I'm the operations manager and the acting CEO at Dotzena. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Tebacho Chokwe, Office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, all. My name is Tinyi Kongobeni, DDG for ICT Infrastructure at the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Mary Andra Choho. I'm the Executive Assistant to the CEO of USASA.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Sipom Ngabisa. I'm the Acting CEO for the Universal Service and Access Agency of South Africa. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Alfred Motu from the Policy Branch of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Good morning. My name is Pindile Vumazonke. I'm Acting Chief Director Entity Oversight in the Department of Communications.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Colin Mashile, Chief Director, Broadcasting Policy, DOC.
Good morning, Chair and Members. My name is Ayanda Cliche, SABC. Thank you. I think we're done.
I just want everybody introduce themselves. I think so. Members, just quickly introduce yourselves. Because yesterday, many of the people here were not there.
Morning, Chair, the Minister, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, the officials of different departments. My name is Nomsa Kubega, responsible for this Department of Communication and Digital. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister. My name is Lisiba Mlaga. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members. My name is Alice Mchembo, a member of this committee, Communication.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister and Deputy Minister, officials of the department, My name is Gumbu Thomas. I'm a member of this Committee on Communication. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mavum Zukwankwa, a member of parliament and an alternate member of this committee. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, the Minister, Deputy Minister, all ladies and gentlemen, my colleagues here. My name is William Adisha, a member of this committee. And I must say, Chairperson, let's congratulate the Minister and Deputy Minister for having been appointed into these positions. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I am Pumzile Van Dam. It's great to see many of you again, at least from the communication side, and also the new members from telecommunications. I look forward to working all of you in a constructive manner. Where there is good, we will praise good. Where there is bad, none in yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We also have our team from the committee. Can you introduce yourself?
Good morning. I'm Hajira Sali, committee secretary.
Good morning, honorable members. Mbombo Malik, I'm the content advisor.
Good morning, honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and departmental officials, Kamalamding Timingo Singol, Committee Secretary.
We got a report that because of flight delays in OR Tambo, the ICASA delegation is only going to arrive between 11 and half past 11, and there might be other SOEs which are affected by that situation. So we are aware of the situation of the delays. At least the ICASA one we got, but there was a general indication that because of the delay, people were not here by 10 o'clock. Minister, over to you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Honorable members, maybe let me first start as I do my opening to the presentations that we'll be making. Let me first talk to the process of reconfiguration. You may be aware that President Ramaphosa took a decision to reconfigure government, and as part of reconfiguration, he then decided to merge the two departments, which is communications and telecommunications, that therefore gave birth to what is the communications and digital technologies that we are part of to date. Now, what's important is the process, because many people have started asking when we said we're coming to Parliament to make the presentation, and when we spoke of the two departments, communications and telecommunications, people started asking, why do you still refer to yourselves as that? Reality is that, as we all know, when the process started, we were already in the middle of the MTSF, and therefore administrative processes and treasury processes had already kick-started, as we know that all departments were supposed to submit their plans in April, and therefore we are taking up from there. That's why you still hear us being the two departments that are going to present separately. But of course, there is a process that is looking at making sure that we bring the two departments together, which we refer to as the National Macro Organization of Government, which is a process led by the Presidency and DPSA. And of course, we do participate in such committees. We have established few committees that are looking into ensuring that the merger happens smoothly and efficiently. So the committees that, or the work streams that we've established, is that of finance, human resource management, infrastructure, legal, and communication, to make sure that as we transfer officials to the new department, everybody is well looked after, and of course they are placed accordingly in terms of the skills and the mandate of the new department. One of the key things that we're still looking at as we're busy with that process through the presidency and DPSA is then clearly
coordinating the structure and the mandate of the department, all of those that were reconfigured. It's not something that's happening with us, but all those prisoners given the mandate, this is what we're going to do. But when we bring them together, there's a need for you to make sure that as we existed as telecommunications, we were doing certain things. Now the new Department of Digital of Communications and Digital Technologies has a key mandate that the president has added to it, that besides just driving digital technologies, you've got to lead the fourth industrial revolution, which therefore changes the mandate that we've been implementing in the past administrations. So those are the things that the teams are busy attending to. We are given a deadline to make sure that by 1st of April 2020, the departments have merged. But as we're talking about about 1st April 2020, in September we have to make sure that when we make a submission to Treasury, including others, as we submit the MTSF for the next administration, it's done jointly. Of course, fortunately for us, Honorable Chairperson, this is a process that started in November when President decided to merge the two departments. So what we then undertook to do was to say, every time you're going to have an EXCO, let's make sure that it's a joint EXCO so that those employees from the other side and the other side, they're able to meet together and we're able to understand what the other side does. Because it's very important that one does not only keep into what was doing at DOC without understanding what's happening at DTPS. Secondly, one of the things that we did was to put a moratorium that, of course, has caused lots of uneasiness amongst other people. And when we introduced the moratorium, it's because we appreciated the fact that once we become one department, we need to have one CFO, one DG, one whatever. And right now we have twins, and therefore to keep on adding to a structure whilst we're talking about the challenges that we're facing in terms of government, not only on the finances but also ensuring that the state and the departments are productive, we needed to look into the already employed personnel that we have and say halt all the processes of bringing new people, because it is in our interest as a caring government to make sure that nobody is told to go home whilst one could be upskilled and therefore be re-channeled to the new work that the new department must be doing. As we did that, we also said it is compulsory for all entities in the departments to make sure that they undergo a skills audit process. Those that have been observing on TV or print media, you will observe that we have not addressed the nation to say this is what you're going to do in the department. Because we felt that for us to say this is how we're going to change the department or refocus the department is for us to first understand the capability of the departments that we are leading. What is the portfolio that we have capacity on? What are the weaknesses that we have? And therefore, how do we then, having understood that capability, we're able to say, all right, here we can do ABCD. And therefore, it is able and possible for us to say, this department, this is the key role that will play in changing and contributing to the GDP of the country. So we employed all those strategies. And as we speak to you today, we have the APPs, as I said, differently between DOC and DTPS, but even then on the development of the APPs, we had ensured that we work together in the areas where we're able to make sure that we can use, as we have had DDG Shalembe, who was introducing himself, his DDG Shalembe of telecommunications responsible for SOEs, but he's also acting on DOC. We had separated the DGs, hence you hear that we have an acting DG until further notice, because of the priority projects in the two respective departments. If you're looking into, for example, in the Department of Communications, there's a key program on digital migration that everybody is interested on, and that's very crucial for government to help migrate all broadcasters and therefore be able to free the spectrum that is there. There's the issue of SABC that is at everybody's heart, that here's SABC day zero, SABC all the challenges, SABC this and that, and therefore you do need a dedicated team that must look into that, because as members of a caring government, once more, it is in our interest to make sure that the entities that we have are financially sustainable, they do comply with good governance, but most importantly, they're able to do that we have asked them to do in relation to the work
that they are hired to do. So that requires a specific focus. That's why we have that. Other people, CFOs, they're still different. As I said, there's a need for that because we're also in the middle of the financial year. Chairperson, I made mention of the two key entities, I mean two key projects in relation to SABC and digital migration. And of course, we do know that there's ICASA, also under the Department of Communications, that is a regulator established according to the law and appointed by this parliament. And these three you can't separate as much as we also talk about Film and Publications Board. You've got to make sure that you bring them on board, because one of the key things that we have learned in the past 25 years, that as we continue to work in silos, we have not been able to do that we're supposed to do effectively. And like any other 25-year-old, we took a decision that ours is to learn from the past. What is it that we have done right, as we have a great story to tell? What is it that we have not done well? And therefore, how do we change the silo mentality of working in government in order to make sure that the resources that we have are better utilized? Doing that, we had to say, of course, first things first, if we are saying everybody must have access to information and entertainment through the public broadcaster that we love, it means we've got to make sure that we have good systems in place. It means that, as we have seen and read in the news, for those that read about it, I sit with SABC, so I don't read about their challenges. We get to talk about them. As we have seen all of those, how do we then work together to assist the public broadcaster to turn around itself? This we do appreciating once more, that in 2011 there was some bailout that was given to SABC, and of course we could not implement or on the turnaround strategy that we had put in place. Now, as we keep on coming back to government to say, Government, Minister D. Dombaweni, please help us, SABC is in a crisis. How do we make sure that we don't keep on knocking on government's door to say we need a bailout because of how we have not managed to address the key things that were supposed to be addressed in the respective portfolios? One of the key things that we did was to make sure that we help provide support to SABC by appointing the GTEC, which is a technical committee under Treasury, to say we want them to assist SABC towards the development of the turnaround strategy. When we were appointed chairperson in November, when we came, you will know that there was a huge, there were lots of members that resigned, I think about four or five from the board of SABC, because there was a burning issue on Section 189 and the turnaround strategy that was presented to Parliament that, unfortunately, as we are appointed, we had to come here, listen to what the Portfolio Committee of Communications then was saying, and we had the members expressing themselves in relation to the concerns that they had towards the turnaround strategy, and specifically Section 189. The previous week, again, it was SCOPA that raised the same concerns. And of course, as the newly appointed employees, we then took it ourselves to say, actually, SABC has to be our priority. Hence, we went to SABC, requested a meeting with the board and the executive. And of course, we received, because we shared with them, with 5 days in office, we have read, we're with you in Parliament, there's these burning issues. What are the issues? Because we want to understand. And indeed, SABC did take us through in terms of their turnaround strategy and, of course, their interest in saying that one of the key things that are making SABC to bleed financially is the issue of the overbloated staff. As you would all know, you have read, I know you love SABC, you have read on the fact that there was lots of things that, like, you get Stella hired, but not hired at that level that you're supposed to get. One will get increased, and then the AG has expressed themselves on those and the other institutions that have raised concerns on how SABC was ran. Having been given that presentation, of course, we had discussions, and as I said, we were 5 days into the portfolio. We requested extension, that can we be given time to familiarize ourselves
as the shareholder of SABC, that must go to Treasury and plead the case and come to Parliament, plead the case of SABC. We had disagreements until you saw the resignations, which again I read and watched on TV, listened to others on radio, whom mischievously decided that these members that are resigning from the board, they're resigning because they're in protest of this minister that wants to micromanage SABC. To your shock, those that are listening, those members resigned in support of the shareholder, that they were agreeing with the shareholder that we really need to give the shareholder an opportunity to familiarize themselves with the work that is being done. As they said, even then, we're not against what is happening at SABC being proposed, but for me to go and say, as I've heard Parliament distancing itself from the interventions that were proposed, I need to go and convince them. And for me to go and convince them, we must have all the information, and we must have satisfied ourselves that indeed we've done everything that we're supposed to do. As we move forward, appointing the GTEC, in that process to say, at the end of the day, we have a responsibility to make sure that SABC is properly governed and, of course, it is assisted financially. We then set aside a budget of 3.5 million in order to assist SABC because the turnaround strategy that was produced was rejected by Treasury. Of course, it was produced, and it was the turnaround strategy that was with the corporate plan that was submitted for the previous bailout request that was made. Honourable members, I'm giving this background because we were in the new administration. Most of you were not there. There was a rumour and lots of news that government had ignored trying to assist SABC, because SABC made an application some years back. Whilst that is partly true, that SABC did make the application of the tenor of the bailout, but at some stage SABC withdrew that process because then the then board and administration believed that they could go out and source funding on their own, which is what then meant that the process from government is withdrawn. Upon realizing that the findings that were made, which made it impossible for the government for whatever funding that was sought, then SABC was forced to come back to Parliament. Most people, when they report about this matter and when they talk about it, they say all the ANC ministers that have been deployed in this portfolio have abandoned and ignored SABC. And for the first time, I clarify that it is not true. Because all these ministers, as I've given account, there's nothing a shareholder can do when an entity feels like they can do this, we withdraw from government. We don't represent ourselves. We're the shareholders that act in the interest of government and the entities that we have oversight over. We came back when the process was restarted, which is when Treasury said, this turnaround strategy that is being presented by SABC does not meet our funding requirements. They raised concerns, and as the department ourselves, we had raised concerns on certain things. When the presentations are made, the DGs, we will talk to that, and the DG is responsible, which is why we then said we've got to act, and acting meant that we must seek external support. Hence, we contracted the GTEC to come and assist SABC to be able to develop a responsive turnaround strategy that must give confidence not only to advertisers, not only to people who are listening to SABC, but to government and everyone that in the next 5 years or 3 years, SABC will not come back and ask for a bailout. That's very crucial because we're talking about the taxpayers' money here. And as I talk about a bailout, we do know that government has specific processes. It doesn't matter if you require 10 cents or 6 billion. We have to follow everything as we have approved those regulations and legislations. It doesn't mean now when we're in a tight corner, they must then be undermined because we feel a pressure. We all agree in government that SABC has to be bailed out. As I said, for the interest of the public, not for the interest of the shareholder, the board members, or the executives and everybody in SABC, but for the interest of the public to ensure that their mandate of educating, informing, and entertaining the people of South Africa is realized, which is why we will be meeting once more. The Minister of Finance has given a directive to his DG to work with the DG of Communications and everybody from SABC, as we have been doing. When we delegated certain people from the department, we made sure that they interact with SABC on a weekly basis to say, this is what is required. Have you submitted? What is it that we don't have? Including when Treasury said there's certain conditions that we must meet, and the department had to be the one that says, Treasury, on behalf of SABC, we commit ourselves. And therefore, but for us to make such commitments, Treasury wanted certain conditions to be met, which is why we continued to engage with SABC, as we continue to do so, in the interest of SABC, trying to make sure that our SABC is properly funded and, most importantly, is properly capacitated for the future and be responsive in the fourth industrial revolution that we're talking about. There's a meeting scheduled already on Thursday with the DG of Treasury. As I said, the minister has instructed or directed the DGs to meet. I am highlighting this because it's one of the things that already on current affairs everybody gets to talk about on SABC. But in terms of the actual plans of what they'll be doing, the APP is clear to give information on that. One of the critical things, again, is on digital migration, Chairperson, which is a project that since 2008 we've been talking about as government, that as a country we need to migrate on the broadcasting side from digital to analog and back to digital after that. And we have experienced lots of changes and challenges in the project. Everybody talks about the cost to communicate, the need to make sure that data costs fall, and everybody links that to spectrum. And the spectrum we're talking about needs to be freed from the migration process that we're talking about. As we engaged with the newly appointed board of SABC, those are the first things that we identified, that you've got to have SABC, because we believe that also sustainability of SABC relies on those, because SABC has to respond to the challenges. If you go to certain states now, you'll find that actually YouTube is the biggest driver of news, and that is being followed by people. So how do you make sure that our public broadcaster is able to exploit that opportunity, but most importantly, because through the digital migration process, we want to increase the channels from the four that we have, but we're going to increase them incrementally to say we're going to add four now, sports channel, and to increase in terms of content development, to make sure that as we talk of content development, people are given a diversity on the news, but most importantly, SABC is able to, like other broadcasters, able to respond to the challenges of the day. So it is in our interest, that's why I said we will be making interventions, and of course for now I won't be announcing all those interventions because I'll be spoiling my budget vote speech. Details of that will then be given there. We are here today to present the APPs. So I was just talking to the issues that are there. The APPs are here with your permission, Chairperson, as we're going to start with the Department of Communications in terms of the presentation, appreciating all those that I've reported about because they're in the public space. I will then hand over to the Acting DG of Communications to talk to the APP, and of course even the APP that we're talking about is one that had to be responsive to the country's priorities as defined by President Ramaphosa, that alignment, of course, not ignoring NDP and the other things that have been in place in relation to the work that is being done by the Department of Communications.
Chair, can we be given a quick opportunity to ask the Minister questions?
before we move to the APP. I think she's made some very serious, she's given us some very serious information. I know that the department will give more the technical aspects, but she's given a more political, if I will, presentation. So can we be given a quick opportunity just to ask her as a minister some questions, and then we'll go into the APP and the technicalities.
Good. Member program, I think just note, let's have the presentation. We'll tell them the same. You can focus on the minister when we finish the presentation of the department. I mean, you see yourself, 10, there are a lot of, you will do it. Just note, and then when we come to that part, you will...
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Minister. We have the APP for the period 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2022. This is the page on table of contents. What is important here is the alignment to SONA and FTSF priorities. That is one of the things that we had to align ourselves on. Then, for the purposes of the committee, just need to remind the committee that we as the department were required to produce and table the annual performance plan, including the projections for further 2 years consistent with the MTEF period. As we said, we have actually developed this 1920 annual performance plan through our strategic planning workshop with our senior managers, as well as engagement with our state-owned companies and entities such as your ICASA. One of the things that we also did, we had extensive engagements between ourselves as the Department of Communications with Department of Telecoms and Postal Services, and we identified areas wherein we can work together during this fiscal year to ensure that there's alignment and synergy on our respective APPs. So this APP actually has three strategic goals and is supported by seven strategic objectives. And as the department, we are committed to 18 annual targets across the four departmental programs that we have. Our mandate is, as on the slide four, is we have a vision to be a vibrant and sustainable communication services for an informed citizenry and positive image of South Africa. Our mission, create an enabling environment for provision of inclusive communication services to all South Africans in the manner that promotes socio-economic development and investment through broadcasting new media, print media, and other technologies and brand the country locally and internationally. Our values, certainty of the policy environment, people-centered, quality standards of products and services, integrity, responsive, and innovation. You will appreciate here there are still elements of print media, and there are issues, elements of brand, because this is a part of the five-year plan that was there before on our vision and mission. On our strategic outcome-orientated goals and objectives, the one that we're going to look at is the one on goal one, effective and efficient strategic leadership, governance and administration. And then we have there as to ensure departmental compliance with statutory requirements and good governance practices. The next one is repurposing their state-owned companies and agencies to improve efficiencies and service delivery. And goal two, a responsive communications policy and regulatory environment. Here we have improved universal access to broadcasting services and information by all citizens in 2019. On SO 1.2, you will note that one and the one above it, actually the all three are aligned to that one of DTPS because of the alignment that we had to do. We have goal three, transformed communication sector. Support the growth and development of the creative industries by 2019. Ensure the country migrates from analog to digital broadcasting by 2021. Forge partnerships with relevant stakeholders by 2019. And then we have our plans that are on page 1, page 8. the 2019-2020 priorities. Improve universal access to broadcasting services and information. That is the first priority. What is involved there? We are required to develop and implement a content strategy. We will be undertaking a broadcasting amendment bill, and we'll ensure that there's an operational project management office to support the Presidential Commission on Fourth Industrial Revolution. The broadcasting digital migration, Minister spoke on this one. Here, what we'll be doing this year, we'll be reviewing the delivery model in order to accelerate the release of the radio frequency spectrum. Then thirdly, on the priorities, we have the ICT, SMME, and enterprise development. One of the things that we do is to, we'll be doing is implementation of the audiovisual SMME program, focusing on 4IR skills and enterprise development, facilitation and coordination of access to digital platforms for the audiovisual SMMEs. These, we conduct workshops in various provinces. We've already done two thus far in order to realize this program that is focusing on SMMEs. Next slide is on our international engagements. On this one, number four and number five, we're actually working hand in hand with the Department of Telecommunications and postal services, because as Minister said, for instance, on the ITU, because we are responsible for DTT, and Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services is responsible for broadband spectrum. We will be working together to do the development and advancement of the Republic of South Africa position paper for ITU World Radio Conference 2019. And we'll develop an advancement of South Africa's position for BRICS ICT ministerial meeting. Also, it will be in 2019. Securing of two partnership programs towards development of 4IR in South Africa. Support South Africa's chairship of the AU. On SOC governance, we will be undertaking a repurposing of SOCs and agencies to improve efficiencies and service delivery. Next slide 10. On the alignment of the commitments to aligning them to SONA, we, for this current financial year, will focus on small and medium enterprise and create market access. Then this is priority one in terms of MTSF, to transform the economy, to serve the people. So the commitment that we are doing, it will be appointment of local installers to accelerate broadcasting digital migration rollout. And then the second one on SONA commitments, develop programs to ensure that economically excluded young people are work ready. This is through the skills program that we're doing, which is on our APP commitment, implementation of the audiovisual SMME program, focusing on 4IR skills and enterprise development. Facilitation and coordination of access to digital platforms for the audiovisual SMMEs. This is what we're committed to this year. Then on SONA commitment, which is building a capable and developmental state, this is aligned to MTSF for this period, strengthen governance and public institutions. Our commitment is to ensure our state-owned entities adherence to good governance and financial stability. Repurposing of the state-owned entities and agencies to improve efficiency and service delivery. And then on the other SONA commitment is social cohesion, which is linked to priority five, build national unity and embrace diversity. This, our commitment is coordination of the planning and monitoring of outcome 14 by state-owned entities with emphasis on sub-outcome 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is fostering constitutional values, equal opportunities, inclusion and readiness and redress, promoting social cohesion across society. Then the next one, building a better Africa. South Africa, that is priority six, which is South Africa and the world. Here, our our APP commitment is to engage this engagement of multilateral structures of ITU, which is International Telecommunications Union and WIPO, and also the position paper that we committed to before. That is the APP commitment that we'll be doing for this current financial year. Then on Program 1 is mostly administration. These are the kinds of things that we'll be doing, and address and show compliance with statutory requirements of and good governance practices. The things that will be happening, reconfigure department to deliver on its mandate. Minister spoke at length about that. Facilitate implementation of approved workplace skills plan in line with the reconfigured department's mandate. We have time frames that are aligned to that. We want to ensure that we keep an unqualified audit outcome on the 2018-2019 annual financial statements, and ensure that 100% of our compliant invoices are paid within 30 days. Implementation of the procurement plan with focus on enhancing industry transformation and youth economic inclusion. This one is aligned with what we'll be doing as well with DTPS. Strategic risk assessment conducted and risk register updated. 4 progress reports on strategic risks and strategic risk mitigation compliant. Then we move to program 2. Program 2 is the responsive communications policy, a regulatory environment, and improved country branding. This, as you will see, we have performance indicators. As I said earlier, we have to plan also for the years, for the upcoming years after 1920. So we have targets there as the audio-visual and digital content act needs to be implemented. And then we'll have, for this current financial year, audio-visual and digital content strategy developed for the 4IR. And the next financial year, we'll have implementation of audio-visual and digital content strategy. And then the 2021-2022 will still have the implementation of the audio and digital content strategy. Impacts that we are foreseeing is improve universal access to broadcasting services and information by all citizens. And then we have on Program 2, Operational Project Management Office to support the Presidential Commission on 4IR. So in 2019-20, we want to have a PMO established and operationalized to support the Presidential Commission on 4th Industrial Revolution. And then the year after that, we provide support to the Presidential Commission on the 4IR through the PMO. The following year, the year after the 2021-2022, the same will be done. And then the impact building a capable project management office to support the 4IR Commission. Program 2 is to have a responsive communications policy, regulatory environment, and improved branding, which is still the same. The things that we'll be doing as an indicator is the Broadcasting Amendment Act that needs to be implemented. We want to ensure that this year the Broadcasting Amendment Bill is tabled before the House and is finalized. And then 2021 to 2022 will be monitoring. We'll make sure that we have monitoring reports on the implementation of the Broadcasting Amendment Bill. And it's similar to 2021 and 2022. The impact improved universal access to broadband services and information by all citizens. Why is this important? It is important that we monitor the compliance with the amended bill once it's approved and signed off by the president, because we have noted that in prior years there were issues around the Broadcasting Act as it stands that were not complied with. Next slide. Next slide will be transformed communication sector. Ensure the country migrates from analog to digital by 2021. We have here analog transmission services switched off in all provinces by 2021, subject to sufficient funding. Review and implementation of the revised model is what we have already committed to this year. And then the following year, we have implementation of the revised delivery model in the identified provinces. then the year 2021-2022 implementation of the revised delivery model in the identified provinces. What is the impact? The impact is spectrum is released and used to the extent to extend mobile communication on their services. So you will see with this one, we have a provider that is subject to sufficient funding because this performance indicator is not adequately funded. We have a BDM consumer awareness and education plan, which is implemented. So even currently this year, the team is busy with the BDM awareness and education plan. So each and every year, that's what they do, so that end users are able to know what is the services that they'll be getting under the DTT program. Then I move to slide, I think it's at 16. The slide 16 is still continuing with the transformed communication sector. You will see we're talking about on the performance indicator is the audio-visual SMME program focusing on 4IR skills. As indicated, this year and the years following, we are rolling out a program in different provinces to ensure that producers and people that develop content for the audio-visual space are capacitated to know what is it that they are supposed to do. As you know, 4IR is more, when we're talking about the content side, it's about video. So that is the training that we're doing across all provinces. Then you say access to digital platforms for the audio-visual SMME to be coordinated. Our role is to make sure that we facilitate and coordinate of access to digital platforms for the SMME SMME in the audiovisual space. So this is what we do, and we'll be doing it for the next three financial years. And then program three, number of mandatory multilateral structures engaged to advance communications or broadcasting positions, development and advancement of South Africa's position paper for BRICS ICT ministerial meeting in 2019. Then 2020-2021, additional multilateral structures engaged jointly with the DTPS. So moving to the next financial years, we'll be doing this jointly with the DTPS. The impact is to enabling environment for investment established locally and internationally. And then the next one, performance indicator, number of RSA positions developed jointly with DTPS. Similar, this is for the World Radios Conference 2019, which will be held in Egypt. Development and advancement of the South Africa's position paper for the International Telecommunications World Radio Conference. And then the following year, we intend to have an outcomes report of the International Telecommunications Union World Radio Conference 2019 in order to develop a national radio frequency band plan. This will be doing jointly with CPS. And then in 2022, implementation of the ITU World Radio Conference 2019 resolutions. Then on program four, we have this one. This talks about, it's more about leadership, governance, and administration of about entities. So here, I'm going to say number of quarterly performance review sessions coordinated. Because now our entities have been reduced, we intend to have 12 state-owned entity quarterly performance review sessions. There'll be 12 on an annual basis up until 2021. Why are we doing this? The impact to ensure that improved capacity of the entities to deliver on their mandate. Number of performance reviews and compliance monitoring reports of the state-owned entities developed, it's the same number. It will be 12 performance reviews and compliance and monitoring reports of SOEs to be developed. So that's what we'll be doing. The next slide will move into the financial information. I'm on slide 20. This is currently the allocation on slide 20 of the programs within the department. As you can see for the year, what we've done for the current financial year for administration, communication, industry and industry and capacity, lastly being entity oversight. This is the entire budget that the actual Department of Communication has been appropriated for this current financial year. And then for the next two financial years is what project should be allocated. Of importance is the next slide, which is on 21. You will see there is compensation of employees. Out of the total budget, there's a compensation of employees and transfers and subsidies. And ensuring that we pay for the capital assets that we have. And then the last slide, you will note as Minister both said that this on the latter part of the slide, we're still transferring funds to GCIS and MTDA and Brand South Africa. That is on top of that, we have the Film and Publication Board, ICASA, and SAPC. Those are the transfers that we project for 2021 up until 2022. For this current financial year, that is what has been allocated to the respective entities. Chairperson, with your permission, I am done with the presentation. Thank you very much.
What we'll do now, we'll have comments and questions on the first presentation, then we'll move to the second one. Member Van Damme, where is she? Where the train is moving. So somebody needs to quiet the voice. I don't know whether she thought we were going to do the two of them and then do after. What is your suggestion? We do one of all of them. All right, and then members note, and then you can indicate which areas you want to. I think that will help. Yes. Or else, what do you think? They should engage on the first one? What is your thinking, members?
Yeah, I think we should combine this for the sake of time. Combine both the presentation by the minister and the department. If there are questions, start with questions.
Second one.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will have the DG responsible for telecommunications and postal services making a presentation, and of course, in alignment with the priorities set out by the governing party and the president on the priorities of making sure that we build a digital society through providing broadband to all. The DG will be talking to the projects that we're doing, as we have a broadband plan that we are rolling out as a country, which is called SA Connect. And crucial to the work that we're doing, you will remember I'm talking about these ones that are also in the hearts of the people, the post office being the center of the distribution of the social grants. And people have raised concerns at times to say, here we did not get our grants, here we got them, but here are the challenges that we're facing. And as President mentioned in his State of the Nation address response, he did mention that we've covered so much ground, and of course when the entities come, the responsible entity will unpack the numbers. But we are trying to work closer as the department with all the entities under the portfolio of DTPS in ensuring that especially the key priorities of government are well looked after. And crucial to that is ensuring once more of the fact that all the entities, they comply with good governance. We will remember that one of the key things that we've seen in the country, that now we have said, as we work towards the development of the shareholder compact, we've got to make sure that we do an analysis of the entity in relation to the state capture, in relation to other corruption activities that have been mentioned, the ethics, integrity of the people that we employ or deploy in those entities. So those are the things that we said as part of providing support in ensuring that our implementing agencies, which are the entities, they are aligned to the broader framework and priorities of government. The DG will talk to that. I mentioned broadband rollout, and we'll talk about the post-bank
the corporatization as it has been pronounced. You will know those that were here, that you came and made the presentations. The bill was then sent to Parliament. The DG will focus on that. Of course, in terms of contributing towards the growth of the economy and putting the SMMEs at the center, President at times talks about the innovation centers, at times talks about the township economy that we need to build. And as a department, we had, as you know, members of Parliament have read about it, that we produced our ICT SMME strategy that will be going throughout the year in terms of implementation. Crucial to the work that we're doing is ensuring that we put South Africa and its people at the center. Because as we talk about technologies, everybody just think about the consumption levels. Ours is to say, how do we reshape and refocus the sector and the country to play a positive role, not just towards GDP, but also towards the African continent and the world. Therefore, prioritizing the local technologies produced in South Africa is a priority. Hence, we talk about the SMME strategy that must talk to all the components that the DG will talk about. We have the centers, as you know, through USASA, the rollout that has been done, so they'll be taking us through how to work towards coordinating. I said it has been 25 years, and in this 25 years we have learned, like any other 25-year-old, how we've been working, that the other entity does this and it contradicts what the other entity wants to do in the same portfolio as the department, as the main shareholder. We have said these are the broader priorities as we take you from what President Ramaphosa has announced, and then to say the department is how we're going to respond to those priorities, and therefore the entities must act accordingly based on their mandates. And of course the issues of the legislative reviews will come on board, as DOC also highlighted that. The regulators that we have from this side, we have we have .z now, which is the domain name authority. Members, I know you do have your private email addresses, and most of you love .com. We want to plead with yourselves to make sure that the money that we spend in this country get to be spent here and contribute to the GDP. When we talk about the politics or the economics of the domain name registration, your email addresses, because we want data to fall, government must incentivize, we must do this, but we take all this money outside South Africa and we come and complain about the lack of development of the sector, we complain about jobs that are not there, but the money is how we spend. I don't want to talk to the applications and everything that we utilize. You have read about, okay, at least now it's resolved, the Trump and Huawei issues. Can you imagine, Whip, if one day Trump wakes up and say, I'm withdrawing Microsoft and Google from all other countries, what would happen to South Africa? So we have said as a department, we need to prioritize and remodel the department, that it doesn't matter what may happen in the future, but we need to build our own capacity. So as I talk about the politics of the domain name authority, it applies to everything. All these gadgets that you say you have that are not produced here, how do you work together despite the political parties or the slogans that we chant, but trying to make sure that we put South Africa at the center? Because when South Africa is highly industrialized, people are able to get jobs, the economy booms, and then we can go and politic, but people of this country at least will feel safe and will be well looked after in terms of the economic opportunities that are there. We also spoke about the need to make sure that we build a digital skilled society, because if we are talking about the fourth industrial revolution once more, that requires a multidisciplinary, that even if you are a nurse, you must have a digital literacy skill that will help you be able to respond to the challenges and opportunities that are presented by the fourth industrial revolution. Hence, you will get into the details when we talk about NEMISA, which is a training institute under our department, that how we plan to reposition and make sure that we give access to the unemployed graduates, we give access to the matriculants that could not be accommodated at TVETs and universities, but because they are South Africans too and they deserve to be empowered. How do we then help bridge that digital skills gap by making sure that we provide them with the skills that they can have so that they can better advise government on policies, and therefore they'll be able to generate whatever income utilizing the knowledge that we have given to them.
everybody has been talking about ITV Young, this and that, Ayidlalika Kuhle, and one of those key entities that is responsible to make sure that there's a good signal is Sentech. They are here, they will unpack their plan for the year to say, how do we make sure that we build on the new technologies to make sure that people of South Africa do not only get poor quality on the services that they are rendering, but we reposition them not only to respond to the South African challenges, but Africa as the continent, as they've already started building a footpath in Africa. And I want to say, honorable members, something that we don't talk about a lot, that they're doing very well. If you go to the continent, most people, they will tell you of the entities that they've been able to even give business to, and fortunately, as they are given business to, they are not ones of those that are problematic too much in terms of the service they render, and we are working towards enhancing the work that they do. I will pause there for now. Others will come, and the DG will talk to the APP in terms of the priorities. I did say the priorities are broader, but what we're trying to do is to give direction to all the entities to say go and focus. We're responding to what Mongameli has spoken about, and therefore this is what we'll be doing. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair, and over to you, DG.
Thank you, Minister. Chairperson, members, ministers and colleagues, thanks once again for giving us this opportunity to present our annual performance plan for the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. I'm going to address three broad areas. One is the alignment with the government priorities, and then go to the priorities for the year and address also the financial information. Now, Chair, as it has been indicated in the earlier presentation and in the Minister's opening statement, what we do when we plan as departments, we take into account the overall plan of government, so that eventually what departments do as individuals form part of a big whole, which is the plan of the whole of the government. Now, we work in terms of the National Development Plan, which remains the vision of the government into the future. And out of the National Development Plan, you have what is called the 9-point plan, which is what we've been using. So the 9-point plans have been extracted from the National Development Plan. We go to Lekgotla. Now, the presentation that we are going to make here marks the end of the 5-year planning cycle of government. And as the Minister has indicated, we are beginning a new cycle into the 6E administration. We do have our own internal policies which are sector-specific. We do take them into account when we plan for the year. And also we take into account ICT sector trends, and of late, the fourth industrial revolution has been one of the biggest issues of concern to the two departments and the sector as a whole. And of course, we have our own individual targets as a department. Now, there's always a lot that you want to do given the kind of challenges facing the country, but we have to work within the confines of the available resources that are allocated to us by National Treasury. During the year, we go to Treasury and ask for quite a lot of money to do all the things that we want to do, but they can only allocate so much. So we have to take that into account and also ensure that we can look after the allocated resources. Now, in terms of the strategic alignment, one of the key areas, one of the key focus areas of the department is that of developing legislation. So we'll continue with this path and develop new legislation. But before we can come with new laws this time around, we have to review the current policy so that we have a clear policy statement of what we want to do, and informed by that policy statement, then we can revise the laws. And in this particular case, the review of the policy will be preceded by the work that is being done by the Presidential Commission on the Fourth Industrial Revolution, so that what comes out of the Commission must find expression in the work of government. So we are going to do that. Then acceleration of broadband rollout in South Africa. We play a role as a government. Besides our policy and regulatory responsibility, we also run a project that is called SA Connect, and this seeks to connect schools, hospitals, clinics, police stations, home affairs, and so forth. So the project has started already. We are rolling out this project in partnership with some of our entities that are present here. And as has already been indicated, we need a comprehensive strategy to drive the digital transformation and the fourth industrial revolution. And in this regard, we'll focus on the implementation of the current national e-strategy. The licensing of the radio frequency spectrum, Chairperson, is a very important issue in South Africa. I guess it is the same even in other jurisdictions. Now, as we do so, we need to ask, why do we license the radio frequency spectrum? And some of the reasons include ensuring competition, innovation, stimulating investment, transformation of the sector, and reducing the cost of communications. But then, as the Minister has also indicated, we don't work in isolation. We work with the other countries as part of the global family. So the radio frequency spectrum is planned at a global level, and we participate in those processes. And as indicated, this year we'll attend the World Radio Conference, which happens every 5 years, and it is responsible for the development of radio regulations that are used by all countries on Earth. Then, in terms of the SOCs and agencies, we need to improve efficiency and service delivery. And as intimated in the opening statement, Chairperson, we know that the department is responsible mainly for policy making. A bulk of work that was supposed to be done by us has been delegated to the entities, which means that entity oversight becomes one of the biggest responsibilities that we need to carry out as the department. So the regionalization of some of the entities and ensuring that there is effective oversight will also receive prominence in our planning and programs throughout the year. Then on cybersecurity, we play a very big role on cybersecurity, Chairperson, with, of course, limited resources. We have what we call the cybersecurity hub, and Minister, I wish to believe that one of the good days, members will visit the cybersecurity hub to see the work that we're trying to do. In this regard, we coordinate with the like of SABRIC, which is the banking institutions. Very important for us to coordinate with those kind of institutions. And that is going well so far, even though we have limited resources for this purpose. Then the issue of SMMEs has been indicated that we need to implement our strategy. We're the, amongst the first departments to go to cabinet with a clear SMME strategy in terms of what we want to do. Now, Chairperson, when you talk about SMME development, you realize that there are policy and non-policy instruments. So far, we focus only on the policy instruments, and a lot of work still needs to be done there. But there are other bottlenecks that we need to address, and then including funding that we will also attend to, make reference to it later on. The massification of skills has been referred to, that we need to skill everyone in society. In fact, we are already behind in this regard, and we need to move a bit faster. Digitization of government to improve efficiency and service delivery is also going to be one of our priorities as the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. Now, going into very specific areas of delivery, with regard to broadband, the department will focus on the following. We will monitor the provision of broadband services in 570 sites. So these sites are already in existence. And as I said earlier on, this only speaks to the work that the department is doing. There is work that ICASA does to impose obligations on the companies to also roll out the broadband. The big companies, including our state-owned enterprises, also are rolling their own broadband. So this just speaks to a portion of the work that we're doing with regard to broadband. We will also coordinate the rollout of broadband in 400 sites. As indicated, this speaks to schools in the main, using the money allocated to the department. Then we'll also maintain the operations of the Rapid Deployment National Coordination Center. Chairperson, we've created this center within the department to coordinate the deployment of broadband. One of the biggest challenges facing the rollout of broadband, especially by industry stakeholders, that there are barriers to deployment that you'll find in local government. So through this facility, we are trying to work with local government to remove those impediments so that the industry can roll out the infrastructure throughout the country. I've already mentioned the cybersecurity hub that will continue monitoring its operations. Now, with regard to legislation, we're going to focus on the following. We have what we call DDF Bill, that stands for the Digital Development Fund Bill. So, Chair, currently we have USASA, which Universal Service and Access Agency, and the Universal Service and Access E-Fund, which are playing both funding and regulatory responsibility. And now with this bill is to streamline that so that we have a dedicated facility that focuses on the financial aspects of supporting in particular SMEs. We will also attend to big data and cloud policy as it has been indicated. Now, Chairperson, this is a very big ask in terms of what we need to do as a department. It has already been indicated that we are in the data economy, so we need to make sure that we have the necessary policy that will ensure that within government there is interoperability and we can maximize the value of the data that we have. Issues around storage of data, where are we going to store government data, is also going to be one of the issues to be looked at. The issue of CETA. CETA is a very important agency, and it was mentioned earlier on that most of the time there are complaints about CETA. Now, many black people, especially SMMEs, which come to our department with respect to CETA, they will tell you that besides their own innovations, please help us to sell Cisco, SEP. That is what they are asking for. And when you look at the margins that they get, because all of them, most of the SMMEs, even those with capabilities to do their own things, spend most of their time having to sell SEP, Cisco. That's all what they do. And the margins are very small. So the idea here is to move CETA into a new dispensation where it's going to enable local innovation. We're also going to work on the state infrastructure company at two levels. One is to merge certain entities, but also as indicated earlier on, what we will need to do is to make sure that all state entities that are involved in broadband, one way or another, are coordinated as part of this initiative that we are working on. We made reference to the World Radio Conference, which is going to take place at the end of this year in Egypt, and the outcome of the radio conference will obviously inform the review of the National Radio Frequency Plan. So the NRFP stands for the National Radio Frequency Plan. Then we will also deal with the SMME's development strategy. Just to belabor this point, there are issues around capacity building. And when you go to the big companies and say, why are you not taking local SMEs? You will always be told that they don't have capacity. So we want to attend to this matter, hopefully in partnership with the same big companies. Because, Chair, it doesn't help for a big company to say we spend $10 billion per annum on infrastructure, only to find that what goes to SMMEs is less than $500 million. So we need to trace what actually happens in the value chain of what the big companies are saying that they are spending on SMMEs, and that speaks to access to markets. There are serious barriers to entry for SMMEs. Access to infrastructure is also very pertinent. Now, on access to infrastructure, this does not only speak to SMMEs in our portfolio. It also speaks to non-ICT SMMEs. The President has already indicated that there will be hubs that are going to be created. A number of government departments are also establishing those hubs. So our responsibility will also to make sure that SMMEs outside of our portfolio use those hubs to access infrastructure. We also spoke in the earlier presentation by ADG of our international work. Chairperson, we take our work very seriously internationally. Because the nature of this industry, Chair, when you see us moving up and down, because it may arise one of the days, Minister, as to why are you always traveling, is that its nature is an international industry. So we have to attend quite a lot of meetings to an extent that we also place our own officials in some of the jurisdictions where discussions take place. We have an official based in Geneva full time so that he can be our eyes and ears whilst we are busy here. So we'll advance our position with regard to the World Radio Conference, which will be approved by Cabinet. And so these are our positions as a country, and we are engaging with the entire African planning area before we go to the World Radio Conference to ensure that there is harmonization. The BRICS partnership is also a very important priority for the department. We have been participating, and as the minister might have indicated in one discussion, is that we can't just be attenders of the BRICS meetings. We are the smallest of the BRICS countries, and we must try by all means to extract the best we can extract from working with our partners. Of course, not cap in hand, but also bring some innovations and ideas in our engagement with the BRICS countries. On securing two partnership programs towards development of wire in South Africa, we do work with other countries and organizations and develop partnerships and collaborations. And at present, we are playing a very big role in Africa and the region. We are chairing the Committee on the Fourth Industrial Revolution in SADC and also at the African level. So we will need to strengthen that participation. Support South Africa's chairship of the African Union. The President will be assuming this responsibility at the beginning of the year. So as a department, we need to also support that process and come with programs that will support the South Africa's chairship of the African Union. Then going forward in terms of national strategy, approval and implementation of national digital skills strategy. Chairperson, we have worked on this strategy. Initially, we did a gap analysis, and we've been working with other government departments. And one hopes that even if there are new ideas, this will not be streamrolled or stopped, but then colleagues can add as we move forward. And as has been indicated in the workshop that the minister hosted, that this is not our strategy. It's a strategy of government. So it's not a departmental strategy. To an extent that if other government departments have new ideas as we move on, the best thing would be to enrich what has already been done, as opposed to saying that we must develop this strategy or not. So we hope that will go well. Develop a model for digital transformation of government. Government's uptake and usage of ICTs or digital technologies is very important in any country. If government lags behind, citizens have no incentive to use these technologies. So we will prioritize this. I've already indicated that the Presidential Commission will develop a plan which will later on inform our own policies. Development of framework for smart communities for South Africa. Chairperson, most of the time people talk about smart cities, but the issue is much more bigger than smart cities. It's about smart communities that we will need to develop. Now, communities are not the same, so we'll have to look at each and every area and develop a model where you can just click and say, I want to see a smart city model for South Africa. You can click any municipality, you'll know what we're going to do in terms of smart city. So that process is going to start in earnest, and we'll be working with the local government to ensure that there is a single model for smart cities in South Africa. Then in terms of the SOC oversight, analysis and submission of 28 quarterly SOC performance reports, we need to do this so that the reports that come to you must be processed by us. So they come from the entities having been approved by the boards, they come to us, but then the minister submit them to Parliament. Now the issue goes much more beyond just analysis. How we work with the entities to address areas of weakness. Because every time we analyze the reports, we always find that there are challenges. So we always bring that to the attention of the boards and the administration in the respective entities. The corporatization of the postbank is a very important pillar of this. Now, we have submitted an application, which is long overdue, it's with the Reserve Bank. But the application could not be processed first because it was said that the Banks Act did not allow state entities to hold bank licenses. So we had to wait for the Banks Act to be amended, and we supported that process. It has been completed. Now the Banks Act allows state entities to can hold bank licenses. So part one has been done. What we're working on now is the model of ownership of the new bank that we're talking about, the Postbank. And as we do this, we have also asked the Post Bank and the Post Office to an extent to also start thinking about what are we going to do, because it's easy for the minister to frustrate the legislative aspects, only to find that when it comes to delivery, we don't have a strategy of how the bank is going to fit in the fast-changing market. So maybe in future discussions or even the budget vote, you, Minister, can expand on this so that at least there is an appreciation that we're taking this matter seriously and we are aligning our innovations with the fourth industrial revolution. The repurposing of the agencies and SOCs I have referred to. Now, repurposing will take different forms. There will be instances where you merge, but there will be areas where you might not necessarily merge entities, but repurpose them. So that in the case of the post office, even if it's not merged with any other entity, it still needs to be repurposed so that it can play a much bigger role in the fourth industrial revolution. In terms of the department's own internal processes, Chairperson, we'll focus on the development and monitoring of our budget and the procurement plan according to our priorities, assessment of strategic risk and updating of the strategic risk register, which we do most often, digitization of one additional departmental business process. As a department that's responsible for digitization and the fourth industrial revolution, we also need to move and lead by example. So, Chairperson, within the limited available resources, we are beginning to digitize our own processes. Leave has been digitized in the department. Even the submission of memos has been digitized. So we're looking for other aspects of the work that we do to be included so that by the end of this year or by the end of the MTF, we can talk about a department that is also digital minister so that we don't ask everyone to digitize, but ourselves have a problem with digitization. So we've started that process and we'll allocate more resources for this. Facilitating the implementation of approved workplace skills plan aligned to the mandate. Now, what we're doing here, Chairperson, every year we need a work skills plan to support employees. But the way we're approaching it this time around is that we are approaching it with transition in mind. It has been indicated that even if you are a nurse, you need to have some digital skills. You need to manipulate the devices that we are talking about. So even within the department, we need to do that. So as we implement the current work skills plan, we must do that with the future now in mind. Establishment of a reconfigured department to deliver on the new mandate that has been dealt with sufficiently. And this part also deals with that. And we will now move to the finances. Now, Chair, similar to DOC, you will see that we get this money, 1.6 billion, and the bulk of the funds are transferred to the entities. Now, there are obviously entities that we don't give money, you know, they are generating money on their own because they are quasi-business entities. So if we were to account for the entire portfolio as to what is the total budget of the entire portfolio, this 1.6 billion is not a true reflection of the situation. It only speaks to the money that's appropriated from Treasury. But there's a lot of money that the entities have on their own by virtue of doing a business. So when we have this money, it's allocated to administration, international affairs and trade, policy research and capacity development, ICT enterprise development and SOC oversight. So this will include the transfers to the entities, ICT infrastructure support, as you can see. This also includes the work that I referred to in the implementation of SA Connect. Now, over this time period, over a three-year period, it's clear that we will not get significant increases in terms of the money that we need. The minister indicated that the money for broadband will be addressed separately going forward. We are working with the Development Bank of Southern Africa to revise the delivery model for broadband. And the current indication from National Treasury is that we'll get initial 1 billion. That would be for broadband in addition to the money that we have allocated here. Then what we then do, you'll see in red the compensation of employees, goods and services. Those refer to current payments, which are indicated across the three-year cycle. And then transfers and subsidies, you can see, Chair, over a billion goes to the transfers. So it means that the department retains around 600 million for its own operations. And then payments and for capital assets, also that is included in the budget. Then in terms of transfers and subsidies, the first one speaks to provinces and municipalities. Here is more about the licenses that we obtain for cars and other consumables that we get from the provinces and the municipalities. Households, this one in particular refers to legal fees related to the DGT project, which was initially hosted at the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. So going down there are the transfers that we give to the individual entities. Chair, you'll see at the end that we give money to Centec. Now, this is very important, and it tallies with what was said earlier on by the ADG, that if we don't have money to implement DTT, at the same time, we will maintain the infrastructure that we're not using. So we're maintaining the infrastructure that we're not using whilst waiting for the allocation for the other aspects of DTT. So this is very important for the committee to appreciate that even as we are reviewing the model, there is already money that we're spending to fast-track DTT to an extent that over 70% of the country has a digital signal that if you have that set-top box, you can receive the signal already in the country. So, Chair, that marks the end of our presentation, and together with the DOC, we are going to take questions, of course, led by the Minister and the DM. Thank you.
Members, now it's comments and questions. We'll start with Member Kubeka, and then Member Mulala, and then Member Fandame, and Member Madisha.
Chairperson, let me first welcome the presentations from the Minister and also the Department itself. I think as we are here, listened to the presentations, we can understand it to say, umsebenzi ukhona oyenzakele, but still there's a lot also to be done. And because I can see that the Minister has already also raised the challenges that we are having, us is to just be here and see how best can we assist one another. So I've got some questions here. It will be there and there. On the side of the spectrum licensing, I'm having a question here. I'm not sure who's going to respond. Maybe it can be the Minister. Yes. What is the government thinking regarding the objectives of the licensing on the radio frequency spectrum? And also I'm having another question on the side of the SABC. What is the diagnosis of the current challenges facing the SABC? Are these resolvable? I'll just pause there. I'll come again. Thank you, Chair.
Mulala.
Oh, thank you, Jefferson. And let me first start by also welcoming the presentation. My questions will start first with the SABC. I heard the Minister saying they are committed to helping the SABC, but I want to know what is the Minister doing to assist the SABC, both in terms of policy and financial instruments, and if there's any progress in that regard. And maybe the latter part would be also indicate the responsiveness on the part of SABC, because we agree that SABC must be helped, but equally there must be responsiveness on their part, so that we don't just allow government to put money and then nothing is done from the SABC side. So surely that will be responded to. The second one, it's about the Broadcasting Act. Previously, government indicated that they want to amend the Broadcasting Act in order to strengthen SABC. I want to know if this is still going to happen. If so, when can we get an indication? And maybe on the, just making a follow-up on my colleague on the question of spectra. How confident are you, Honorable Minister, that the spectrum will be licensed without delay after possibly issuing the policy directive? And I hope Chairperson Ikasa has also arrived, because I wanted also to know from the Minister whether Ikasa is adequately funded to license that spectrum. And I'll come back on the second round of questions. I still have some here, but let me allow other colleagues to also ask questions.
Thanks, Chair. I have quite a
followed,
few...
Just one.
Oh, sorry.
Immediately after we finish, Member Madisha must come in and then we'll come to other members.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start with the good. I'm really pleased to hear that the departments will be focusing on the digitization of government. I'm pleased that you'll be prioritizing SMMEs. I think there shouldn't be over-regulation, but support should be given to SMMEs so that they can create jobs. If we're going to focus on jobs and unemployment as government and parliament, it's important that we give support to those businesses in that sector. We should also guard against job losses. So it's important that we focus on the digitization of South Africa, but must also make sure that there are no unnecessary job losses. And I'm glad to hear that government employees, as the minister said, nurses will be given digital skills. I hope it will extend to teachers and all other state employees, because it's important if government is going to be digitized that also not only members of parliament know how to use their computers, but also government staff. I'm interested in the state ICT company bill. What we do not want is a bill that will centralize the control of the sector. We would rather have something that allows, that gives, that lays the ground for companies to develop. So we'd like government to create the conditions that make it easy for those companies to survive. So government regulations need to be nimble and keep in line with, for example, Uber and Airbnb. So we need to be nimble, and regulations must be made so that the development of such companies isn't constrained by government regulations. So we need a government that is fast and is nimble. So I'd like to know what the intent of the state ICT company bill is. And so we do love the SABC. The SABC has a constitutional mandate to entertain and provide education to South Africans. A lot of people in rural areas, that's the only form of information. They listen to the radio to get information. So we do love the SABC. You're correct about that. I'm very concerned that the acrimonious and malicious relationship that exists between the minister and the SABC continues. That's always been the state, that there's always a friction between the SABC and the minister. I don't think that is necessary. I think it is important for all parties to be mature and do what is best for the country. If you have beef, sit down, settle it, and focus on the job at hand. And Minister, it's incorrect for you to come here and basically lay out a bad story about the SABC. We've been here. Let's not. There's no point in you raising what the board members who resigned said. And it's also incorrect for you to say that they said that they agree with you. We have no record of that. So it's not right for you to say that. There is a court ruling that says that what describes what your role is at the as the minister. So we have institutional memory. We've been here. In February, the issue of the SABC going to the banks was resolved. We were told that Treasury and the department would sort out the issue. We were told about, what is it called now, the officer from Treasury who would come and oversee finances at entities at the SABC. So it's February, March, April, May, July. Government has done nothing. We're still waiting for a guarantee. So don't mislead us, Minister. We know we've been here. So what has been done from February until now? The SABC has said day zero is coming. Day zero is coming. SABC buildings are falling apart. Staff had to be evacuated. So it isn't correct to say that, oh, the SABC this, the SABC that. What have you and Treasury done? What has the communication has been? When will it get an outcome of what will be the resolution of the financial crisis at the SABC? I particularly am not interested in the fights that you're having with the SABC. That is something you and the SABC must sort out. What we would like to know and what the public would like to know is when will the funding crisis be resolved? And then there is talk of a broadcasting amendment bill. At the end of the last parliament, that bill was withdrawn, and the department said they'll go back to the drawing board. But I see here now there is a target for a Broadcasting Amendment Act to be implemented, like it's a fair compli, like Parliament will just rubber stamp whatever you bring before us. So can we give an indication of what the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, the new one that you'll table, will contain? Because the last one was fundamentally unconstitutional. It sought to remove the role of Parliament in appointing board members and place it with the department. So what will the new bill contain? And don't talk about the Broadcasting Amendment Act. It still has to come here, and we might not approve it. So we're not a rubber stamp as Parliament. We're going to thoroughly engage with that bill. DTT. Government keeps talking about DTT, and you have been for a very long time, and digital migration for a very long time. I will believe it when I see it. We've been talking about it for an extremely long time. And in the meantime, technology has moved on. I believe a thorough review needs to be conducted before you talk about further implementation regarding all the technological developments that have happened. Also in budgets, there's never enough money allocated to digital migration. So it almost seems like a pipe dream that South Africans are given that is actually never implemented. There's never enough money allocated to that process. So I'd like to know, have you conducted a review? What are the results of the review? Has it included developments in that sector? And what's the deadline for the reconfiguration of the department? We haven't been given a deadline. We've been given a new name, Department of Communications and Digital Technologies, which is amazing. We need to focus on digital technologies, and I think it is an important mandate for this particular department to set the tone for the digitization of the entire government. So I'm really excited about this aspect, and I'm happy about the things that you've presented in that regard. But would like to see it being rolled out. I think it's an imperative, so I'm pleased about that. But can we just get a deadline of when the reconfigured department will be finalized so we can start on the important work that you have to do? Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Chairperson, and everyone here present. The merger of the two departments is very important. In actual fact, some of us spoke about this, I think it's more than 7 years ago, when we indicated that this is basically one department. And the leaders who chose to have this separated this department were actually wrong. So we are quite happy that this one department has been brought together, Chairperson, and we hope, Honorable Minister, that we shall be able to achieve that which the people of South Africa had actually lost. Now, given that a clear program of action of the merger has not been given, it has not been given, immediate focus on staff, for example, that's where you have gone to, but on very many areas that has not been looked into. I want to refer you to this page. It's on telecommunications and postal communications, as well as the services, okay? And then under reconfiguration of the department, point 22, I think. One went through this even yesterday. I don't see a very clear program of action, unless what the minister says holds, that she'll only present this when she presents her budget speech. I would say that can we basically understand the program of action insofar as that whole area is concerned? Because you only talk about stuff there, okay? But you are not talking about the plan that is going to be followed, the program of action that is going to be followed to deal with this whole thing of reconfiguration, etc. It further, of course, goes on to say that you'll be working with the other department, but that still is a problem, in my own opinion, because it's only the an issue where we will be able to say that that particular department will be able to work properly and deliver, that we shall be able to rise and make sure that everything is fine. I suppose looking at that, you will be able to respond. Now, my other colleagues here have referred to SABC. You see, this is very important, because like one said, and like some have said, on very many occasions in the past years, that has been looked into. But ministers will come, make presentations, make promises, but there was no implementation altogether. You have indicated the area that is section 189. Of course, that's very important. People cannot just be sacked. That is extremely important. We need to look into that. I mean, some of us who come from the trade union movement will not agree with the situation where we have that kind of a problem, Chairperson, okay, or action. Now, we know that the information that we're given in the past, that the workers there were about 3,090, between that and 4,000. But then there was a problem where some of those particular members of staff would be reading the news, but at the same time going on with the other programs, etc. And that created problems. Have you looked into that? You may not have done that. I mean, the administration may assist you as you go on to respond to that, to say what has actually happened insofar as that is concerned. So that is one area around the staff. But again, many other people have been dismissed, or others have not been getting enough salaries. Others were given only 8,000 rand a month. Okay? Now that's a very serious problem. While others, like the a former, what must I call him, Mr. He was getting more than millions, eh? But then you find this other poor workers getting about 8,000 rand.
Who are you referring to?
Who is that man who was the, was he the COO or CEO? He went to elections for Kaudi, whatever. Yes. Okay. And I'm talking about lots and lots of millions. I think members and the minister really will know about that. Now, that is a very serious problem. Perhaps we may get, you know, a clarity insofar as that particular problem is concerned. The issue of crisis there needs to be looked into. And I would beg that you respond to that. Not only respond, but act. Because in the past, promises were given, but those particular promises were not actualized. It's a very serious problem, and that particular institution can collapse at any time. We say we are going to give them money tomorrow. We don't. And then I know you, a minister, you will try your best, cry, do all that, beg the Minister of Finance to do something, and you will go on, and only the day before it collapses, you have this kind of things, etc. Kindly say to this committee before your budget that something will be done so that we then can be able to preserve this institution that belongs to South Africans. Thanks for now.
Member Kombo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I had the DG talking about the World Radio Conference. And about this frequency spectrum, normally which are normally called known as the 5G. Now, my question is, what would be the significance of the World Conference in the licensing of these 5Gs, and how will South Africa take advantage of these new opportunities? That's my first question on the issue of frequency spectrum or radios. My second one will be on SABC. I think it's common knowledge that SABC is facing serious financial challenges, which have placed it on a brink of shutdown. Somebody was talking of day zero. Now my question is, what is it that still needs to be done before these current challenges reach the unmanageable level? Those are my two questions, then I'll come back with another one if what else. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me once again welcome the presentation, both presentations. Indeed, presentations were informative. But let me shoot straight to the question that my question is, what are the long-term plan to ensure that this important sector is competitive in a way that contributes to the reduction of data charges? I'm asking that question because there is an outcry that data charges are very high. Let me pause here. I will then come back to the SAPC. Thank you. Okay. My second question is how much of the country is currently covered by the DTT signals? Are there communities that currently receive the DTT signals? What are the experience from the viewer's point of view? Thank you, Chairperson.
Give the department the opportunity to answer.
Can I come in, Chair? As a response, yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honourable Minister and Honourable Members. I think, Chair, I'm not going to take the issues in sequence, and there'll be quite a number that I will also defer to the Minister. Members will remember that initially we had the Department of Communications and the Department of Telecoms and Postal Services. And for the regulatory processes and policies to be presented to Parliament, from time to time you would need concurrence or buy-in between the two, including SOEs. And good examples will be when DOC wants to do this with ICASA, but at some point ICASA also has to go through to DTPS and so on. And I think this is what also informed the decision of the President to say the two departments must come together so that the synergy and we are able to align. Now, when we came in as two departments in this form, one of the things that we also picked up is that the policy directive and legal frameworks that we do were more inward looking other than countrywide looking in the sector. And that's why the Minister then guided to say, let's look at all this regulatory framework and then look at the bigger picture that we want of South Africa in the sector that we are dealing with. And I'll give you another example, practical example, that when I was in the Standing Committee on Finance and the African Bank had its own challenges, we amended the Bank Act just to respond to the African Bank, only to find that we must come back again and say, now the postal bank, now this. So the reason why we now want to say, let's look at the broader picture of South Africa we want and then develop legislation and policies that becomes responsive to some of those things. That's why the withdrawal of some of those, whether ECA or anything that we withdrew and then say, let's sit broadly and look at all the sectors that are under us and then look at how we want to drive South Africa. That's the one element. But the President even took it further to say, let's put the fourth industrial revolution, the commission on 4IR, so that they too can look at the gaps that are there and regulatory framework and then be able to guide the country as we go forward. So there are those areas which the Minister is, of course, leading that process from the Interministerial Committee, where the 4IR Commission will also look at the state of readiness of South Africa in responding to the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And we think the skills and capacity that we have in the 4IR Commission will also assist us to be as responsive
as possible. And the one element that we picked up, Chair, was how as South Africa we lost an opportunity through DTT to be able to put massive manufacturing companies that can supply the whole of Africa. So other countries even migrated without us becoming the launching pad for manufacturing some of those things. So the commission will also assist us to make sure that at least we don't become consumers or spectators, but we ready ourselves to manufacture and play in that space. The other issue changed around the diagnostic report of the SABC. And I think here, members, some members and ourselves still have that good memory. Remember the previous board was able to go through the challenges that the SABC had, including even taking or strengthening that board with the SIU investigation to say what went wrong in the SABC. So over and above the challenges, including what SCOPA was looking at on the financial suitability and the ex post facto programs that SCOPA looks at, there were other issues that through SIU and everybody were able to look at. And that's why, through the former Minister Mokonyane, we then started the program with the previous board of turnaround strategy. Not only that, when the new minister came, we then reviewed the strategy because GTEC and National Treasury said, some of the things that you're looking at are outdated. Let's update so that you are able to then have a plan that can attract anybody to come and assist the SAB situation. So not all is lost, and the engagements with the banks, with all other financiers, Minister of Communications and Digital Technology and the Minister of Finance are leading that process. So it's one of those things that it's top on our agenda. The last issue, Chair, is about DTT. And I'll talk from the monitoring point of view and use the Free State situation as a living example. Remember, as government, we said, because the slow progress on this thing, one, but two, price has escalated. The way we took long to implement DTT, we are overtaken by quite a number of things, including price, but also technology is advancing. Now, one of the things we did as the department a month or two ago was to go to the Free State to say, did we actually migrate? And we went to areas from Senegal to all those areas, and we found teething problems. And that's why the minister then said, maybe we have to go back and review, because in areas, in the most of the Free State areas, there are areas where you need a DTT, and there are areas where you need a DTH, where you need the area like what happens. So the signals issues which CSIR has, when we were rolling out the DTT, we were not alive to some of the topography challenges, and that's why other people could not view TVs, could not be able to get signal and so on. But it's something that we picked it up with our own USASA and CENTEC, and we are self-correcting as we speak. So I think those are the things that I will leave. Okay, the last one was around installers, where installers were not based in the Free State. So even if there's a small thing with regard to the connectivity, people have to wait for a company based in Pretoria to come in and do those kind of things. So these are the lessons learned, and that's why Minister will then share with you on how we think we can deal with some of these things. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DM, and thank you, Chairperson. If I were to respond to the first question that was asked in relation to what is it that we're thinking in terms of the objectives of on licensing of the spectrum, President Ramaphosa did announce during his State of the Nation address that we will, within a month, issue a policy direction. That's the first thing that we're looking at. But of course, our approach is guided by the ECA on the licensing of the spectrum is to say, how do we make sure that we utilize that opportunity to make sure that we contribute positively towards the development of the sector. At the same time, we address the imbalances that are here as we will talk about the need for transformation as enshrined in our constitution. And of course, ensuring that we also contribute towards the falling of the data cost or the reduction of the cost to communicate. So those are the basic things that we're looking at, and of course we'll unpack on the policy direction that we'll issue as soon as we're able to. The other question is, DM has spoken to the issue of the challenges that are facing SABC, and she has given a progress report in terms of what are the things that we're doing and how far we are. One thing, honourable members, that we cannot unfortunately say is that Wednesday there's going to be money transferred to SABC. If it was in our accounts, probably we'll be able to do so, but as Honourable Madisha puts it, we work from our side and do what we have to do and send the information as required, and as I said, even on Thursday, we will be meeting with the DG Treasury. So I can't preempt what's going to happen after that. So unfortunately for now, there's nothing we can say. Hopefully by next week we'll have a concrete information to say when things. That's the unfortunate thing. Yes, the challenges that are facing SABC can be resolved, honourable members. The reason I took you through all of that is just probably I don't know how I expressed it, that the honourable member got an impression that I'm lambasting this board members. For your information, honourable member, we're working very well with this board. There are no relationship issues. There are no secrets in relation to the work that we do. Whoever has that information or suspicion must wake up from the dream. The reality we're living in, that's why I said we talk every week on updates on what must happen, this, that they can do, how do we come on board to assist them, and what else can we leverage on to make sure that SABC is assisted. I meant it when I said the ANC government prioritizes the issue of SABC sustainability. I'm not just talking about a recent announcement that has been made, but even if you were to go to the governing party's resolutions, it has been consistent on the kind of support that government must provide to SABC in order to drive or fulfill its mandate. It's on top of our agenda, as I said. But unfortunately, as I said, honourable members, we operate under a constitution, under regulated frameworks that we have established ourselves, that we must all respect and try to navigate, because as we put them in place, at times we do feel like they need to be changed because they delay in progress, but between that process of changing them and that have to be done, we all have to adhere to them, which is why I said even sourcing external assistance was meant to make sure that we address all these things that we are asked that we must comply with in terms of the SABC. I gave background of where we come from, because I said for the benefit of the new members, because they may come and say, it has been said in 2017 SABC applied for government guarantee, but there's nothing, which is why I clarified that indeed a government guarantee application was made by SABC but was later withdrawn, and then the process halted. That's the information that I was trying to provide. So we are working day in and day out. We don't have time. If we wake up at 4 a.m., we think about whatever, we send messages either to say, meet tonight, meet tomorrow, come, because we all agree. We're not here for ourselves. It doesn't matter if I like her or I don't. We're not here to like each other. We're here to deliver on the mandate that we've been given by the people of South Africa as guided in the Constitution. liking each other, not liking each other, you know, there's a term, a phrase, a person that will say, you are man and him tanned. And people will be asking, like, what happened? No, I can't stand him. Puang says, I don't like him. Why? No, I just don't like him. We don't have space for that. When we are deployees, when we are employees, because we owe it to the nation to serve them diligently. So our likes and dislikes take back seat. They know, we all say that we're not here to be friends. We're not trying to, we have lots of friends where we come from, but here, that matters is that we must make sure that public gets the best service that it gets. Even if we feel like, I always emphasize also that when we disagree, let's disagree here, because at times we'll be questioning something, not because we have ulterior motives, but you want clarity. So let's make sure that we talk to each other where we don't understand each other, for the interest of the people of South Africa. And that we are doing with this SABC. Both the executive and the board. We are like this. And we won't allow any devil to come in between us. We are trying to assist in terms of the other question that was asked, in terms of what is it that we're doing in order to assist SABC financially, policy-wise, and is SABC responsive? Yes, SABC is responsive. That's why I'm saying we're able, our teams, they meet together, and then all the meetings that we're talking about, they all go together. Where they start, then we get a report where they need postcard intervention, and then we come on board as the shareholder to say, okay, leave ABCD, we'll attend to it, attend to that is within your power. So they are responding, and yes, in terms of the policy, as mentioned on the presentation, that we will be tabling the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, something that also Honorable Fandam spoke to. We have not said the act. We said we are tabling the amendment bill that has components that at least will ease SABC of certain burdens. There's lots of things, the honorable members, we will take them through when we present the bill in terms of what are the objects of the bill and what is it that we intend to achieve through those amendments that we are making. And it says in the presentation it's going to be tabled and finalized, the presentation that we made. It says the Broadcasting Amendment Bill as listed in page 14, it's going to be tailored and finalized. That's 2019-20. And 2020-21, it says we'll be monitoring reports on the implementation. Because we do appreciate the role of Parliament. We introduce bills to Parliament. It is Parliament that approves. We are very clear we don't plan to encroach. And if there's a writing somewhere that we have not seen that refers to the Broadcasting Amendment as the Act, I will look for that. But the one that I have on page 14 talks the amendment bill. Honourable members, I want to assure you that as this ministry, one thing that we're clear about is that we can't do our work without your support. That's why at all times we have to be transparent on what we're going through, so that as you seek to guide and do your oversight, you understand exactly where we come from. Of course, we're not going to be naked on representation, but transparency is very important, so that when we say, now we're changing from this going that route, you understand where we come from. But most importantly, you understand what is that you want to address by the changes that you are trying to bring. The broadcasting, of course, we'll await, because we had to wait for the first sitting and the other things, and then we'll come and make the presentation. I don't have a specific date yet. Now we're going to request the portfolio committee to give us an opportunity when we're ready to come and make the presentation. We are very confident in terms of the release of the policy direction on spectrum. But of course, honorable members, we don't know what can happen after. So I can't say there won't be delays, but we are talking with the regulator. But remember, this is a process that is not only between the shareholder and the regulator. It involves other people out there that must apply for license, must apply for whatever. Others will come and challenge on whatever. So we do not know. We try to have consultations. The former ministers did it, I came and I did it, but at the end of the day, we have to close consultations and make sure that South Africa is not left behind, and the policymaker has to play his or her own role, which is why we speak about the issuing of the policy direction soon. Yes, ICASA is adequately funded, especially in relation to this. If you remember, in those that were here in the last administration, ICASA raised concerns and the monies that they didn't have, we had allocated a sum of 10 million rand that was already transferred to them in relation to this that they've spoken about outside the allocation that they always get. So yes, ICASA has not came back to us and say now we're running short of anything outside that money that we provided. It's very important, as you correctly put it, Honorable Van Dam, that we ensure that we build the digital society. When I spoke of NEMISA, which is our training institute, it doesn't train in Joburg. We work with colleagues throughout the country, different universities. In the Western Cape, we're working with UWC. In Eastern Cape, we're working with WUSU and in other provinces. That and TVETs. That we do because we want to massify the skills. You are saying we must train teachers. In other provinces, I know, for example, I went to UKZN, where we were launching a program where actually they were graduating the teachers themselves. Of course, it's not something that's going to happen today, all of it. We've been training from all angles. DG Telecoms makes mention of the fact that we set and commissioned a study to understand what is the skills gap on digital. That we're talking about. Then the strategy that we're developing, as he correctly puts it, that this is a strategy that covers government, the entire government, not just our department, but because we're a lead department in the sector. So we have to look into this because I spoke of the development of the sector and most importantly, the need to build the digital society that we're talking about. So we are working with other departments because we will not just come and give instructions. Ours is to, in the strategy, we engage with all of them to say we agree and then how you can come back. Because the issue of resources also that we must take into consideration as we roll out these programs that we want to roll out. CETA being the IT company and the fact that we must not only focus on it, business must create an enabling environment for business. DM, when she makes her input, she makes a very good point that we have emphasized that it is high time, I said earlier, we're learning from the years. It is high time that as government, when we create policies or regulations, it's those that are not inward looking. As government, we cannot drive the growth of GDP. As government, you can't employ all, but it is through the sector, the participation of both government in creating those policies and the private sector and the public that must join hands so that they can come with ideas that government, this we can do, all we need from you is to do ABCD or do away with ABCD. So we are trying to make sure, of course, the reason why we talk about the state IT company, we need to coordinate. Crucial to the work that we are doing, Chairperson, especially of driving the fourth industrial revolution, but also on maximizing on the state resources for efficient and effective service delivery, is coordination, collaboration for effective execution. Now, if I have everybody involved in IT procurement of government, others going to an extent, Honorable Van Dam, of buying equipment for this particular department that can service the entire country. That's wasteful. So the point that we are making is that there's a need for that company, because at the end of the day, it is government that is the biggest spender on all of this. But as I said earlier, government has realized that we need the private sector, we need young people to innovate and create solutions that CETA must utilize. The remodeling of CETA focuses on that. How do we drive the IoTs that are the future, and therefore as we drive the process of digital transformation in government first, we're able to spill it to outside. And that requires a focused entity to look into that. That's what we are trying to do, and we'll present the details when we come. Just to clarify once more, on the SABC court ruling in relation to the role of the shareholder. The court ruling, I will make sure that we provide it, Osi, please, when you have time, so that we can circulate it to members, so that members do understand that it doesn't talk to the role of the shareholder in relation to SABC, but on employment. We will try to provide all of those so that your legal can assist you. There is no court that can say shareholders stay away but pump money. It's not the money of the shareholder,
is taxpayers' money, and the specific matter that was taken by SABC to court was specific in relation to what was happening when there were those that we're talking about that we're learning from the past on the mistakes that we have made, and therefore when we get clarity, because we also respect the constitution of this country that we produced as members of the ANC. So what we are doing is to make sure that if we have done wrong, we learn from that. And it becomes crucial that as the people in the work that we do of communicating, we clarify certain things and be able to provide that educate, entertain, and inform from SABC mandate that people understand perfectly well. We are, on response to Honorable Van Damme, technology is advancing. DTT, we've been talking about it. Now when I joined government, when I came to parliament, we were talking about DTT. I fully agree with you, which is why in this presentation, once more, that we made, on page 15, we talk about the review and implementation of the revised delivery model in relation to analog transmission switch-off, which is the DTT that we're talking about. We had made a presentation to Cabinet in the fifth administration to say, Cabinet, we know you have approved certain things and Parliament has approved, but we request that you give us time because we appreciate that whilst we are still stuck on what we committed to in 2008, it may not be effective and help us achieve what we want to achieve to date. That's why we included in our paper that we will be doing that. The deadline for the reconfiguration. In my presentation earlier, I said it is the 1st of April 2020. I then spoke to the issue of submission of the joint or the single plan that must be submitted to Treasury, the APP, and the funding. I said that September. We are doing work, but the deadline that we've been given is 1st April 2020. We have set up structures, Honorable Madisha, that are looking into that. As I said, the process is led somewhere, but we have established the work streams I spoke about that are looking into the human resource management, are looking at finances, because the reason I said earlier we conducted the skills audit, we wanted to make sure that we follow properly in terms of the placement of the personnel that we have in their respective areas, where they'll be capable or to be able to be effective in the contribution they must make in the department. So we do have a clear plan. Probably what you are expecting us to do, that we can come probably and brief in detail when we have met with the PSA, because there is a framework that has been developed that is guiding us on how to do everything else that we're talking about. We've had engagements with all the unions that are under our portfolio. We've had engagements with all the staff that is working. Of course, we have the unionized staff and the ununionized, so we had to make sure that we engage with all of them. I spoke on the deadlines that I can't put it for now. Or on the opportunities that are presented by the 5G, Honorable Mtembi will blow out. As we talk about the Internet of Things, we talk about all these great things in the fourth industrial revolution, this is what 5G enables. That's why we said, gone are the days where South Africans will be spectators when we talk of these technologies, because the 5G gives us an opportunity of not only focusing on the telcos, which are not relevant in the fourth industrial revolution. The other thing of the Honorable Matisha says, I belong to the third revolution. Third revolution is those that you already have. Then the fourth revolution is the one that takes us to the applications, the software, and all these exciting things, autonomous cars and everything. So it presents a great opportunity. That's why we said the first thing we've got to upskill those that are at work and reskill so that they can change and be able to respond to that must be done. But most importantly, focus on even on those that are outside work, the unemployed and those ones that are graduates and the matriculants. Give them the skills so that they can be innovative. President Ramaphosa says we need to make sure that in each and every town we have an innovation hub whereby people will exercise their innovation. We hold hackathons, we get solutions to certain problems, and this is what we are saying. Now let it be focused, because everybody is doing something in all the corners of South Africa, but there is no coordination. Now what we're trying to say, we need to get all of this coordinated, but this will be made possible when Parliament itself understands what requires to be done and therefore the kind of legislation that must respond. Honorable
Van Damme makes a very great point on the fact that we need to be agile in the things that we're doing. Because if you're going to introduce a bill, for example, now in July, that seek to say, how do we make sure that we ease the way of doing business for SMMEs, but the bill is passed in 2020? Things have changed in our space. When I say our space, I'm not talking only ICTs, because whether you go to health education, they use technologies. So it's important that we are responsive and we are agile in understanding the terrain that we are in. We can't have a regulator that's going to take 18 months to produce regulations. Gone are those days. Earlier I said there's a need for a complete overhaul of legislation. Both the legislation and the regulations that we have produced, they still respond to the voice-centric regime. And the fourth industrial revolution is about the data-centric regime. Once we appreciate that, therefore, we're able to say, this becomes my responsibility as the person who's involved in communication or information, as a journalist living in the era of information disorder. How do I make sure that I protect the credibility of the information and the source that I provide? This says, as a member of parliament, how do I make sure that if we're saying we want to re-industrialize, driving the digital trade as South Africans, banned by visa e-commerce. But as we drive that to make sure that we create opportunities or access to markets outside South Africa, the environment is created and therefore it's conducive. And it requires now the change of mindset and upskilling to the parliamentarians that must produce those legislations. And that spills over to the regulation, to the regulator, and everybody else that gets to be involved. We do have long-term plans to ensure competitiveness, of course. I made mention of an example of the policy directive where licensing of spectrum will contribute. But there are other measures that can talk to the reduction, of course. But unfortunately, honourable member, please allow me to talk to those during our budget vote speech so that we can talk directly. These are the things that we'll be focusing on in order to address. This is a very crucial challenge that our people, although the constitution is very clear, our people must have access to information, but now the cost to give them that information are so ridiculously priced and therefore deprive them of such an opportunity. And yes, we do have communities that already have access to data coverage. CM spoke about the experience in Free State. We are experiencing challenges. As much as we have started rolling out the program, like I said, there are challenges. For example, one of the things that we did when we started rolling out the program was to get service providers to install, get them at a national level, not at a local level. Now when that beneficiary gets a challenge in relation to the box functioning, one has to call, and they don't have money. As we said, whatever the cost to communicate is ridiculous. Then this person must come from Joburg or Pretoria or wherever to come to Free State and address that. Hence, we will be then talking to the reviewed plan on how we go about it on our budget vote, and we will detail that because, as I said, we are learning day by day. We have taken strides that we want to do ABCD at times without appreciating the other contributing factors because I mentioned again the focus on coordinate, collaborate, the silo mentality that we've been involved on. We'll be putting budget here, for example, as we're going to be approving our thingy on the budget vote. We'll be putting budget for DTT, let's say it's 20 million, but the same members that have approved that budget will ask us, when are you finalizing or concluding DTT? But it doesn't require 20 million. So these are the things that we say we all need each other, and therefore we need to be transparent on the information that we have so that we all together can be able to say this is how we can mitigate the threats and be able to address the challenges that we are faced with. Honorable Chairperson, thank you so much. If there are details that I've left, I will hand over to the DGs to respond to them. Thank you so much. They are fine.
We had said that we were going to do, but I'll give you the remaining time before lunch just to, on the department one, to just... So we'll just, it's an amendment to the program so that you have more opportunity for up.
Thanks, Chair. Minister, some of us have been in this committee before you. We've seen a revolving door of ministers, so please don't mislead us. In November, you said you are going to stop engaging with the SABC. So don't act like you've been help working with the SABC. You said you will stop working with the SABC. So if you say now you've buried the hatchet and you're working with the SABC, congratulations. And the devil you speak of who is going to come between you and the board, you best not be speaking about any member of this committee. And Chair, please protect us if ministers are going to insinuate that they are devils. I say was Satan. We were not elected here as a war Satan. She must be called to order.
But it was a figure.
No. I know what you're saying. Secondly, Chair, if I want to start talking here about ANC this, ANC that, you're not the government of the ANC. You're the government of the people. In the same way as this committee, we do not speak about politics. We understand that we are here to hold you accountable. That's how we worked as a committee in the last parliament, and that's why we were able to work here. So can you desist and say, ANC this, ANC that, is the government of the people. We know you're the ruling party, so there's no need to re-emphasize that. We got it. Secondly, look at your presentation, page 14. It speaks about the Broadcasting Amendment Act. So you were able to give an overview about the ICT company bill. We would like an overview about the broadcasting, Minister, sorry, are you listening? Yes. The Broadcasting Amendment Bill. If we're going to debate next week, you can't say to us we're going to wait for your budget. We're here as a committee to get information from you so that we can give our responses to the budget speech. We don't, as you're speaking, write notes. We prepare our speeches. So I would like to know what will be in the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, like you were able to give an overview on the ICT Amendment Bill. Will you be bringing back the same bill that was tabled before? If you can give us a broad overview. You can't say it was wait for your budget speech. Still was, you were able to give us about the ICT Amendment Bill. So can you give us a broad overview of whether you are keeping the old bill or whether you're going to change it. And I don't think the government can say, yeah, we did the SIU report, the SCOPA. That came from Parliament. That came from the parliamentary inquiry. Those were results of the parliamentary inquiry, which Parliament requested. So government can say, yeah, we came in and we did this. You didn't. The government let the SABC rot. And if we want to start talking about politics, it was the ANC government let the SABC rot. And to funukun politics, you let it rot, and it was us as Parliament. I was the one actually who pushed for the SABC inquiry. So don't make claims and victories of things that you didn't do. Speak honestly to us. Don't try and spin. I've been on this committee a long time. So don't try and spin. Maybe for the new members you're trying to spin. Me, I've been here for a long time. Okay, and also the funding. Talking about a process. What does that mean? It's empty words. What does it mean, the process of funding? It's been months. Can you give us an overview? Go to Sielapa, Sayalapa, Sayalapa, Sayalapa. You are responsible. We conduct oversight over you. You report to us. So if a member of this committee says, can you give us an update on the funding process of the SABC? You don't tell us there's a process. You say, members, as the body that I am accountable to, this is what has happened. And don't do so in a tone of attacking. You report to us. And the public has been inquiring. The staff of the SABC, I'm sure, are depressed. So you cannot speak in a flippant manner about the funding of the SABC. Think about those staff members at the SABC who worry whether their salaries are going to be paid at the end of the month. So you can't just speak flippantly about it. It has to do with people's lives. It has to do with people's jobs. It has to do with people that pay school fees. That's what it is about. And they've been waiting for you as a minister, as a shareholder, to give proper overview of what is happening. And you can't say wait for my budget speech. No, we'd like to hear it now. So in your budget speech, we can respond to it. So Chair, I've asked some questions. Can they please be responded to? And can we please be protected from this minister? Thank you.
I think, it's important when you also expect calm responses, you also have to be calm. So I think it's important. I raise the issue of robustness, but there has to be both sides measure of respect for each other.
Chair?
So you, the tone must also be proper.
Chair, you should have called her to order.
I was going to do it before you said you wanted a follow-up, because I thought you were raising. Then I hear what I do. Don't assume that I will not do it. So I think it's important that from both sides, oversight does not mean we have to disrespect each other, either from the department or from members of the committee. It's important that both sides have a balance. So you have an answer, the tone must also be correct, because if your tone is it's that way, you must expect sometimes that you're going to get the same tone. So I think for us to get responses, we must have a tone. It's not principal school child situation, even if we are doing an oversight. So my appeal is that we, otherwise we're not going to get a response you want. So there will be a response, but our tone must also be measured, even if the issues you are raising are important.
Chair, let me raise this point again. As this committee, the past committee, worked very well together. Because also the chair, when that side was wrong, he would say, Yima, you can't say that to the members. Yima, you cannot talk to members like that. Her tone was very disrespectful. She spoke about devils that will come between the SABC and her. So if you're going to, and we've always been robust. We've always been robust. There's never been stop being robust. That's how we engage each other. And can you, if we're going to work together, and if you want this committee to deteriorate, that can happen. So I'm appealing to you as chair. Ukuthi politics, my beqaleni. If you see something, one doing something wrong, regardless of who it is, you say no. If we're going to work together, let's not start off on this. Let's not start like this. Let's not start like this, because it will become like other committees. We work together well. And if you saw her during her feedback being wrong, you should have said, Minister, don't talk like that. Instead of waiting for my response and then saying, I shouldn't have spoken like that. So you must be measured too.
Don't teach me how to chair the meetings. It's the first meeting. If you do confrontation, we become confrontational member. And when you speak, don't say we. Say yourself. Don't speak on behalf of all the members.
No problem. This committee is going to deteriorate then.
No, I'm not saying that. But I think it's important that you respect other people, Member Fandame, to be respected yourself. Abrasiveness, trying to humiliate any member, I'll do it both sides. If a member does something wrong, I'll call a member. If a delegation in front is doing a wrong, I'll do it. It can be on one side, even members. So I've heard what you're saying, we'll have a response. But it's important not to be abrasive from both sides. It's important. It's our first meeting. The deterioration, don't also make threats. We're going to work together. But I'm saying, when I opened, I said from both sides, we need to respect each other. So it's our first meeting, Member Fandam. To expect that we're going to, there will be, we'll pick up. And some of us have been longer in the legislative sector, very long. So don't assume that because we've been in the committee, we've been in the executive, we've been chaired committees before. Many of the members who are sitting here have long experience of the legislative sector. So I think it's important that we don't patronize each other in the committee also. We have been longer than yourself in the sector, in the legislative sector. So I think it's important that we set that straight, allowing members to speak, but let's not patronize each other. Minister, I think there are issues which members have raised. Let's pick up other issues so that you respond. which member wants to speak. We are going to work together, Member Van Damme, don't worry. We will do it as the committee moves.
I think you have covered me, because now on my side I'm feeling a little bit shy. So at least you have covered me to say, indeed, even we are the honorable members, we need also to balance the equation. Whatever we are doing on the left-hand side, we also need to do on the right-hand side. So you put up straight, we need to balance, we need to respect one another, and we can't just debate exactly in front of our entities just like that to have also a dialogue. So thank you, Chair.
Agreeing that if there are wrong things happening in the entities and the department will do it. I was just talking about both sides. The tone should be a measured tone, even if we are serious, the issues we are raising. And that doesn't mean they will not correct the department if there are issues which they are raising. It's our first meeting, Member Van Damme. I mean, obviously, there will be hiccups and there and there. We'll pick up, we'll begin to do those things. Member?
No, thank you, the Chairperson. I wish to go back to that which I raised. I think one area was not addressed. I spoke about the two departments. And I'm referring once again to the reconfiguration of the department, okay? And under 22. Now, it's point one, two, three, point number four, where it says both departments. I wish to believe the previous communication department and the previous telecommunication one, okay? I wish to believe that is the case, that both departments have commenced participation in the national macro organization of government process, which is led by DPSA, okay? That is what I wish to understand. That related to the last point, where you talk about the plans. Now, what I have raised, okay, and I've not actually understood, a very clear input from yourself, it's the consistent assessment that has got to be done. Where do we go to? Must we say the DPSA, here you ought to have done 1, 2, 3, here you ought to have been fast enough, that has not been done, or else? Because that which you are going to be doing on a weekly basis is to say to the minister and the department, here, you have done that which we agreed you've got to do. How far have you gone? Why have you not achieved this, etc.? But then, if, in my understanding, that has got to be done by DPSA, unless that is clarified, I think that may be the problem. It means the committee must go and, check with DPSA, etc., etc. That's what I wanted to understand through you, Chairperson.
Minister, the word of the devil has caused a lot of havoc. I asked it to be a figure of speech, but clearly it has upset one of our members. It was unfortunate. I think you should have just focused on the issue of the relationship, which is better on that issue. But other things, obviously, member has raised, you will decide how you answer them. Member Van Damme?
Sorry, I forgot to raise one point. The minister misled this committee and the public about the SABC judgment. We've read the judgment. So it's also patronizing for her to say she's going to print out the judgment for members of this committee. That's a point you should have also corrected her on, because it's absolutely patronizing. So I would like to read what that judgment said. It said, the minister as a representative of the shareholder, and can I please be allowed to ask my question?
Yeah. We are deteriorating. I'm getting worried now. You said that we must reduce the tones. Now it looks like we're going to be in a committee of a minister and Madam Van Dam. We want to do our work oversight here. So can you please, Chair, guide us and allow Ms. Van Dam to raise her concern without using these tones, because otherwise it's creating a challenge for the committee. So, Chair, please, can you allow Ms. Van Dam to raise those things without this part that you said should not be used?
I thought we were going to circulate the judgment. You wanted to read the judgment?
No, Chair, I would like to read the important parts. And can I make this clear up front? I will not be policed about what questions are asked. I will not be policed about what tone I use. I won't be policed about that. If it makes people uncomfortable, then that's the issue. Like you said, we must speak about I. I will speak the way that I would like to speak. I will be respectful. But where I see wrong, the members of the public don't expect us to be monotone and say, that is very wrong. They expect us to express their feelings. So if there's something that I see wrong, I will express it according to how I think it should be addressed. So please, Chair, don't police me.
I said you're going to read the
No, the minister misled. So she's not in her response going to give the accurate response. I don't know why everyone is being jumpy. I just want to read two paragraphs so that the public can be clear about what the role of the minister is.
But you're going to read along.
No, it's two paragraphs. The minister, as a representative of the shareholder and not of the board, does not have the right to act on behalf of the SABC or manage the affairs. The ultimate decision-making power is that of the board and not as the minister as sole shareholder. The minister is accordingly precluded from exercising any powers by which she may control the directors in how they control the affairs of the SABC. It did not relate to only employment. It related to the relationship between the board and the minister. So can she please not mislead us? And this is me in my calm tone. You haven't heard me in a very not calm tone.
Yeah, well, obviously, I think we must also answer the issue of, I think we agreed, members, that if the resources are given to the SABC, there has to be an oversight played by both the ministry and ourselves then play oversight. I think we agreed there, because if we don't, there will be a problem which you yourself know what happened if there's no proper oversight itself. So there has to be concern on the resources, whatever resources are organized to deal with the problem which you said is urgent. There has to be vigilance on how those funds are actually used. I had some questions, but I decided to give the minister a chance. There are more questions I'm going to ask in relation. There's another meeting where we're going to engage the SABC itself, external factors in the environment of the SABC itself, and how they impact negatively on the sustainability of the SABC. But you can answer. I've already made a view on the issue of the devil issue. So let's not repeat that, but I thought it was you translated Xhosa into English. You see, unfortunately, that's what happens when you translate.
Thank you, Chair. Let me indeed take on a tune in terms of saying I really apologize if I offended the member. But like any black person that I am, I just decided to use the Xhosa thing and then I translated. I really apologize if the member feels that I really think she's a devil. I'm a Christian, I never let a devil win anywhere in the outside world, but I really wouldn't refer to any member of parliament. In my entire life I've been here, I've served in this committee long before the member served. I've never done that, and I don't think I can try now. I said earlier, as this department, we're committed to working with the portfolio committee, because there's nothing that we can achieve if we don't work together. So I really apologize if I offended a member. If I were to just clarify once more, Chairperson, the issue that has been raised in relation to this minister misleading Parliament, I think the reason I said I would certainly probably can talk to your legal, because every time judges issue judgment, there's a context that the judge
judgment is delivered on. But I'm not going to get into that, which is why when you read the judgment, you don't take those that suit you. And therefore, it's important to look into the context the judge outlined and therefore understand everything. But of course, members, that's upon yourselves, because as part of your responsibility, as you oversee the work that we do in the department, you've got to understand indeed this is what as the legacy report will be giving you, this is what you are expected to and get your legal understanding of those. So I will not delve into that as a non-legal person. But of course, acting on advice, that's what I was advised when you look into a judgment you do. Once more, on misleading Parliament, that in November I said I will not engage with SABC. Indeed, I say, like I said in that board, that I said I will not be a shareholder that goes and asks for money whilst I don't know what is the money going to be used for. If honourable members feel that that's unministerial and disrespectful, I might as well step down in the position. Because if I come to Parliament and make a request for funds on behalf of the department and the entities, I've got to take responsibility fully on how the money is going to be utilized. Hence, the oversight role that I must provide. Hence, I said earlier in my representation that government outlines its priorities. As the department, we outline our own priorities in response of what government has spoken about, and therefore the entities respond to that. And as a matter of information once more, as much as I had said that in a letter, SABC will tell you, honourable members, I did not stop engaging with them. I never stopped engaging with them, as much as that's what I sent to the letter. I will allow the DDG that has been working on assisting SABC in terms of the funding process, what is it that we have done, and how far we are. That's what I will do.
Point of order,
and Chairperson?
You see, if you're going to police tone, me, I don't mind the minister responding like this, but if you're going to police tone, you must police it equally. I don't mind robust engagement like this, but you police my tone. And here she is waving her finger and you're policing tone. I don't mind her speaking like that in a robust manner. And I have been here before. If you we're not an ageist parliament. I've been on the committee before, so I know the issue. But if everyone's going to brag about how long they've been in parliament and legislatures, I have learnt the content of this portfolio. So if you want to police tone, police tone. But I'm just saying it's not going to be fair in the committee. I don't mind you talking like that, because that's how we engage. But if you're going to police my tone, police her tone. Except I won't allow my tone to be policed. But if you're going to do that today, please police hers as well.
Minister, continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Once more, Chairperson, I want to say, even though you have not given a ruling, I want to say if the member feels that or offended, I really apologize. It was not my intention to offend him. I really apologize for that. On the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, Chairperson?
Yeah, can you just talk to Honourable Van Damme? Because I'm not even able to concentrate on what the minister is saying, and even on what you are saying. Because she's keeping on whispering here on my ears. Can you call her to order? And maybe to chair to use a micro, this thing here.
No, we understand. I mean, some of the issues, just ignore them. Let's have the response. Because we're going to engage further on some of the issues in the follow-up meeting. More detail. Because it's a very packed program today. But that's why we scheduled the follow-up meeting where we can go into some of the details. So I was just making a principal approach on how we're going to engage. I'm not going to police any member in terms of how they say issues. And the same must be expected from the side which responds. But the only thing which I would ask is that in that strong way of doing it, there are instances where people have used parliamentary language, not in this committee, in other committees, either from the executive or from members. Obviously, they are allowed to stop. But you can actually deal, because Member Madisha also asked questions.
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond again on the fact that on page 14 we talk about Broadcasting Amendment Act implemented. The topic on the page reads Program 2, APP 2019-20. It says strategic goal. A goal is what you work towards, which is what we put here. Hence, we thought what the members focus on is the target. How are we going to make sure that we do this? How are we going to go about it? Which is what we unpacked. So when we spoke about the act, we not say it doesn't mean, ma'am, it's already approved. It says this is what we want to see, development of the bill, and it translates to the delivery of the act that must then be implemented.
Remember, raise the issue of it will be amended to take into consideration some of the issues the committee had raised, for example, the role of parliament and all those issues. Obviously, I think the member just wanted to have a sense that the withdrawal was going to deal with some of those concerns which the committee has raised. Maybe you can just confirm that. That's in principle the one of major issues, because I followed the hearing. I actually watched that hearing, that presentation. The issue of the role of parliament in appointing the board. There were, say, a few other issues which was raised. I think the member just wanted to have a sense whether the amendments will take into consideration those concerns which you raised.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the amendments will look into consideration, and then, of course, based on the advice and what the bill seeks to achieve, will then come and table what is it that the team would have felt is the right thing to go about it. So I did say, yes, concerns or risks will take into consideration, but it depends on what are the objectives for certain things to be changed and what is the best approach. And that will be entailed in the bill, not in the budget vote speech. Our honourable members, I can't introduce a bill in the budget vote speech, but I was saying on certain interventions I can unpack in the budget vote speech. A bill is something, as we have said in the APP that's circulated, that we presented to Parliament. We take it back because, as the member says, it's not a new bill. These were the issues that we raised, and this is how we have responded to them as the department. And that we will do when we get the day to table. On the other issues that Honourable Madisha raises in relation to the process of the migration, I will then request DG Telecoms to talk into the specifics of that. I hope I have covered. And I really want to apologize, Honourable Madisha, if I gave you any other thing. Indeed, this is the year that we're really looking forward to doing things for our people. As I said, it must not be about ourselves. We've got to let go of our personalities and ourselves in the interest of the people, and I strive to do that. When I fail, please do pray with me so that I can be the exemplary public representative that I'm supposed to be.
Deputy Minister, you want to speak before the DG?
Yes, just a quick one, Chair. I think and I think I agree with how you closed the matter around the tone and how we need to address each other. But I had thought, Chair, through your guidance, there's acceptable parliamentary language. And if I stand up and say the ANC-led government has done 1, 2, 3, is it unparliamentary? So that, because that's what I was picking up from what the minister was saying. So if members feel we are a party that's leading, and from time to time, if we are able to say the ANC government, led government, is going to do 1, 2, 3, under normal circumstances, it's not unparliamentary. So I thought we shouldn't really be hard on ourselves in dealing with that. Chair, I'm the one who responded to the question that was asked by a member, diagnosis of the current challenges faced by the SABC. And I said there were a number of processes, and thanks to the oversight of Parliament, because the Committee on Communication became proactive, but it eventually became the committee and government and the shareholder in particular who now had to, including Parliament, to correct some of the things. And currently, as we see it, the SIU report, the shareholder still needs to go and do follow-ups to say, are we implementing, are we able to report to Parliament on a quarterly basis to say, how are we recouping the money? It's one of those things that, and a responsibility that we are required to do. And based on that, there was a turnaround strategy, which through the shareholder came about to turn the situation around. In between, the shareholder and the board, because those are the levels of engagement between the shareholder and the entity. And from there, we must come back and report. So in as much as we're saying, some of the interventions and initiatives came through the Portfolio Committee on Communications. But all of us, the legislature, the judiciary, and executive, we are coming together to say, how do we clean up? And I thought this is the responsibility of the shareholder in the in-year monitoring to make sure that certain things happen. In as much as others will come ex post facto through SCOPA. And I think we have that responsibility to do that. So I'm saying we're claiming no easy victories, and we are appreciating the interventions that the Portfolio Committee did, but it is our responsibility as the shareholder to now follow through and give support to the SCPC to avoid recurrence of some of those things. And just lastly, Chair, the engagement, which I agree with the Minister, the engagement on the Broadcasting Act and its amendment, committee knows it's about governance among others, but also including how consumption of broadcasting is happening over the top and all other things. Our Act does not also cater for some of those things. So it's all about looking at the totality of issues. And that's why we said whatever amendments we're going to do, they should be bigger than us looking only at the entities that deal with broadcasting, because people are now able to consume information differently. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. To respond to Honorable Malicia's question, now, the announcement was made in November. Now, when that announcement was made, we already knew that there would still be a process that is regulated and legislated as to how the measure will take place. So, and that process is run by the presidency and supported by the PSA. So when the president announces today that the two departments merge, there will still be a process that must be defined by the president in the form of a proclamation. And only then you are embarking on a regulated process. But because we knew that this was going to happen, we started our own internal process outside of the regulated process of how the two departments can start working together, collaborating, as we've always done in some areas like international, but just consolidating that. So, Chair, we started our own process internally of working together, mindful still of the fact that there was still going to be a legislated, regulated process. When that process eventually happened, it was not only for this department, but it was for all departments that were going to be merged. So that process will outline when you do what. So not only us, but all the other departments that have been reconfigured and merged are going through the same process. Now, it so happened because we got to know first that we've done some work on our own. But that work that we've done on our own should still be subjected to the regulated process based on the proclamation and the work that DPSA is doing. So we are not far behind. We are on track in line with all departments that have been reconfigured. It's just that we have moved one step forward, and also given the fact that at some point this was one, we were once together, so it was also easy to see how we can collaborate with each other. So we are following the DPSA process. As indicated earlier on by the Minister, in September, we must submit a joint MTSF and APPs. Now, we can't, even if we can do it today ourselves and finalize that document, we will not implement it. It can't be finalized because we are required to go to Treasury at some point. So the fact that we've done certain things does not mean that we can work out of the regulated process. So everything that we've done, we are following the timetable that has been set, and at the right time we'll submit, okay, he says he's satisfied. Thanks, Honourable Member.
I think the issue of from the sense I got, the Minister said on SABC, what the detail for now they don't have, they will not present them. And when they actually would have finalized the interaction with the Treasury on the commitment to work with the SABC for resources, more additional resources, but once they would have engaged with the Treasury, they will come back and inform us. That's the sense I'm getting. The commitment is very important. Remember, Van Damme is 5 months, but at least they are frank that they have not yet, why they can't make a figure, present the figure here to the committee. Otherwise, it will be very problematic if that figure is not approved by the Treasury. The deadline for the end of March to start an integrated department, 1st of April. The other issue is the question of, I think we are broadly agreed that we are going to be working to ensure that commitments with the department make are followed up by the committee, because we can only do oversight on the basis of commitments which would have been presented in the committee. The other issues, obviously, which we will follow up in other meetings, which we are going to have. As I said, it's our first meeting. There will be hiccups, but obviously we are all enthusiastic to do our work. There will be areas where there will be difficulties, but our work here will be irrespective of the political parties we come from. Once commitments in the budget are made, we will follow them up. There will be differences on the tactics of following them up because we don't come from the same political parties, but the commitment from all members will be that we will follow up those issues. And officials of government need to know that that we will going to follow up on all those commitments and have to understand where problems would have happened and why certain things were not done. So, members, I thought maybe we should park the issues. We are going to continue and have lunch and then come back at 2. Together, yeah, I think I will...